This is Craig from The Res, and you're listening to Radio Brendo Man with Captain Phil Vecchio.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
And we had quite the weekend.
Yes, we did.
Another Blue Christmas is in the books.
Yep,
18 can you annual. Believe that? I was talking, it was funny, like, there were some people there, and there was like, I felt like...
It was like a family reunion, right?
Yeah, it was. It was like a reunion, but it was also like, they were like, gather around and listen to this guy telling stories of... Because they're like, what was it like? They're like, what was that like? What was this like? Because like, and these were people that were like, again, it was weird talking to these people that were in high school and would come.
Yeah.
Because
we came when we started the show.
Tim actually, he had heard stories. He wasn't there, but he was like, is it true that Violet Burning, like, ruined a show because they did? And I'm like, well, let me tell you the story. Cause
that wasn't a Blue Christmas. But
it wasn't a Blue Christmas, but they were like, because he's like, isn't there something about, like, didn't, like, because he's like, I heard a rumor, and I'm like, the fact that there's, like, lore
right.
regarding our show, he's like, I heard a rumor about Stave Saker canceling a show because they had beef with you guys. And I'm like, let me tell you that story.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, and I'm like, I have all cut. I'm like, well, you read, cause Tim, I'm like, you read Brax the Alien Rocker. I mean, we have so many stories and those are all based on our.
And it's all true.
It's all true. And there's
it was
even
fun
more.
There were people there that had been like Josh and Lynn played it. I think like the fourth annual Blue Christmas maybe was the first one he did. Something like that. Like, he goes way back.
Yeah.
Eric's played
people
one,
coming
you know,
and going
like
and
went,
part of the scene, and they knew just talking about old bands and old times and old days, and it is. And now it's like a reunion, and it's nice, and it's cool that, I mean, you and I, again, like I was telling them, like, we were still teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time.
1998.
I was 19, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I had turned 20
the week after.
Yeah.
We were still. Yeah. Because I was 18.
Yeah.
And we were in the Biola cafeteria.
You went. Let's see.
I went to like the first two or three.
And then you.
Then
left.
I moved, and then I've been at every single one since 05.
Well, you didn't come out to one of the Ukaipa ones, though. I thought.
Oh yeah.
I think you missed like one or two of those.
I missed one of those. I think during the Smod Castle.
Year.
Yeah. I might have missed
You came
missed
out to some of them, though.
Yeah, but some of them, if it was like a... Like, because didn't you do a couple on a Friday? Did you ever do one?
There was a couple on Fridays.
I think there was one on like a Friday in Ukaipa.
Well, because like they had to use the room.
Yeah.
They couldn't use it for Saturday.
But I came to most.
Yes.
I came to all the Seacoast ones. I came to all the Biola ones.
Yeah.
Like, because Biola...
You went to the La Sierra
ones
too, right?
Yeah, because this was 18, so I remember 8 was our last Biola one that ended... In disaster.
Well, but then we did 2 at Seacoast, and we did 1 more at Biola, if you remember correctly. We returned.
Oh, yeah, the return
11,
to Biola.
Which went okay. There was still, like, some...
Still... Well, that was... Everybody was gone by then, and that's when we realized...
They approached us and said, hey, we'd like to bring it back.
Because that was the one in
it
Sutherland.
It was in Sutherland, and I think Joy Electric...
Yeah, that was...
Or was it... Did they play as Foxglove Hunt? I think they played
as
Foxglove
Fox
Hunt.
Hunt.
And Ohm's Law... Played that one too.
Fine China there. Didn't we have Fine China?
I don't remember.
Since Fox Love
I have to go back and look at the flyers.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Cause Tim was asking very specific. And I'm like, if you go, when you go that, we did, cause especially during that period, like, cause he was talking about like the Pop Shot era and stuff.
Right.
We did so many shows.
Right, between like,
that they all kind of,
there's a
cause
lot.
We had the Three Ring Circus, Spring Fest.
Yeah.
Like those shows.
The Center Ring.
There was Center, okay. I just remember there was a circus one.
Yeah.
Three Ring Circus is the name of an Erasure album.
Well, there's a reason with the Center Ring.
The Center Ring, and the Center Ring is infamous, and this is where, again, we're talking about our history. That's when Javelina canceled at the last second, and I will never forget because I remember I was whole, like, we were already, like, we, there was, it was before you had your PA, so we were still like using stuff from the radio station. So I remember when you found out Javelina canceled, I was holding like a 200-pound
the amplifier.
And then like, I remember Dave Klukas came out and just like mocked us.
Yeah.
He's like, why'd you book Javelina in the first place? Blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't helping. And I remember just being very mad because I'm holding like a 200-pound amp that we were like pilfered from the radio station.
Yeah.
And that was still back in those days. And then we had to like scramble and the Spivvies played like an extra long set and we got that, Jason brought that girl.
And then I think Dirt and Gasoline was the other band that played, which was Dave Moss band. And, it worked out okay in the end, but man, that was, so this one that we just did was like one of the smoothest ones. It was easy. Like no.
Well, it's super easy.
The PA is already there.
There wasn't a whole, like, I mean,
easy
the
setup.
Only band that had some, like, that had sound that would have maybe had possible sound, they brought their own.
Right. Well, and then stuff. They always do. Tim has always been good about that.
Cause he knows.
He knows he's going to be loud. And we could have pushed it pretty good with that PA. They had a pretty good PA, but they brought big guns.
There were the PA wasn't the didn't seem to be the problem in there. It seemed to be maybe the power.
Yeah, the wattage. But we didn't blow anything, so that was good.
Because they were saying they had had some problems.
Yeah, the only like even slight hiccup was one of the bands. The guy took a while to get up. Well, the monitor. You heard what happened to the monitor, right?
What?
Like we had scooted it around, it just came unplugged. Just that's
it
why
it
wasn't working. Yeah. But there's like three cables coming out of it, and I was confused. And David's like, "Oh, you didn't see this one unplugged here." I'm like, "Oh yeah, oops." So that's why that didn't work. But it was fine.
Whatever.
The only other, like slight hiccup is one of the bands, like their lead singer guy, was you know it took him longer to get up the mountain than he had thought because
people
you know,
underestimate
the mountain, and so he did get there and it worked out. But it was kind of crazy. It was actually kind of fun because. We had to get the night moving and they were already set up, so I had them play one song without them. They said, oh, we can do this one song
and
without
it was
him.
Like the Stairwell guy singing.
And he did good.
But it reminded me it was very Stairwell. Yeah. Like,
but then, like, when the other guy came and showed up and he played, like, it just clicked.
Yeah.
Like, the first song, everyone's like, okay, they're good. And then once he got there, it was like, oh, they're awesome. Like, they just, you could tell, like, they were a unit, you know. I was pretty stoked specifically for that band. That's My Compatriots because, two of the guys, the two lead singer guys were both in Bloodshed,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my favorite bands, also in Stairwell, and then,
used to play it by a lot.
They also were just in something recent. What did we see? There was a Stairwell poster.
Okay, I found out.
You told me about this.
It was in How I Met Your Mother, but then I looked and there is another Stairwell.
Oh, really? It's not the same one?
I think it might... They're like a punk band from, like, North Carolina.
So maybe
and they have a moderately large following, so it might have been that.
Because Stairwell was signed to, like, a decent...
So it could have been, but looking... I don't know. It's hard to tell. It could have been.
Either way. But they also were in... Jonathan was also in The Bell Contract, which had a song on our very first vaudeville theater CD. So... The history there goes way back, so
okay.
It's fun.
So this is completely off that topic,
okay.
It's probably nobody cares about, but I just wanted to ask you, because Anthony and I were listening to Popbox Christmas Volume 1 on the way down. I didn't know who Everybody Duck, or not Everybody Duck.
Drop Everything?
Drop Everything.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know who that was.
That was, okay, so Eric, who's in Paravel, his original band was August Moons, and they broke up mostly, I think, peacefully. People were moving away and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There may have been some tension. I'm not sure. But he went on and did Paravel, and this other guitar player, Reese, did Drop Everything.
Okay.
And I think that's the only song they ever officially recorded.
And then I was correct in The Sheep Became the Color, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
That's,
so I was right with
people
that.
People from The Sheep Became the
Color.
Well,
not
everybody, but.
Was a Wyatt and.
Wyatt. Hull.
Okay.
Yeah, and then some of the guys, I can't remember who all exactly carried on, because Wyatt recorded like 8 albums as The Sheep,
and
he had different people.
He's from
in
Big
there.
Bear, or?
No, he's just from Viola.
Wasn't there somebody else that you guys?
Yeah, Derek Healy was from Big Bear, that was in The Color. But okay, one other funny thing about Drop Everything, and I didn't notice this till a couple years later, but, it's a Christmas song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the song is called We Held Him, and it's like, you know, baby Jesus kind of thing. But the band's name is Drop Everything, and the song is We Held Him. So if they were holding him, they would have dropped him, because it's Drop Everything. That's pretty funny. I don't think that was intentional.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, anyway, so that was Blue Christmas successful?
Yeah, it was great. Fantastic. I mean, you know, it wasn't like a giant turnout, but it was a big enough turnout that we were able to pay all the bands, cover the hotels, and I think the, you know, the youth group raised like $15 or something like that. I don't know exactly, like.
Your dad led Christmas carols?
Yeah, my dad. That was like a total spontaneous thing. That was fun.
Got your dad to play at Blue Christmas.
Yeah, so that was cool. Well, and it's perfect because he's on the Wild Box Christmas Volume 2.
It was such a goofy dad thing, too. It totally was. It was like.
It was perfect.
Pretty awesome.
Because he borrowed Eric's guitar.
Oh, no.
And he, like,
I don't
almost
know what I'm
fell
doing.
Over with it because a cord was plugged in. He's just walking forward and back. Like, Dad, stop! Before he, like, fell over.
It was pretty.
But it was fun. Once fun. He did it, like, it was just fun.
Fun
like,
times with Tony Vecchio.
And he did it because he's used to, like, doing second grade class. So he, like, had everyone sing Frosty. I mean, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And they had to do all the, like, silly parts and stuff.
Audrey spent the entire time playing her silly barbershop tablet game.
Well, and then after that died, she played on her DS. She played Cooking Mama 5.
But it was just funny because, like, I'm trying to, like, pay attention to, like, Josh and Rachel said. And Audrey's, like, holding up her freaking...
I know. Well, like, at one point, all of a sudden, she turned up the volume. And we just, like...
Oh, that was kind of my fault. I didn't say anything at first because I'm like, nobody can hear this. But then I realized, like, I think everybody can hear Audrey.
And I was like, that's your kid over there. And I'm like, oh, man. My kid's the one, like, being... Because, like, their sets, you know, they're quiet. They, like, have acoustic guitar and stuff.
But I'm just like, when are you going to care about this? Like, I was a little...
They do a little bit. Like,
well,
they
Luke
enjoy
was
it.
Into it. Luke was, like, right. Luke's dancing...
Oh, my gosh. I got
was, like, the greatest. Because, like, at first, I didn't notice. And then Anthony's like, look at Luke.
Yeah. Like, and he was, like, air guitaring and stuff. Well, so, and Audrey was sitting right in front for that. So they have, like, a limited attention span for it. Like, I think they sat up there for most of Eric's set, but then, you know, I mean, it was, in the end, what was it, like, 4 hours long?
Yeah.
You know, so that's long for them. They don't have that long of an attention span. They both said their favorite was Auntie Rachel and Uncle Josh's band, because they played songs about video games.
Because all the Vecchio kids were there.
Yeah, everybody was
Your
there.
Your mom must have been stoked.
Yeah.
Have her whole fam, the whole clan. Your whole giant clan, about to have a new one.
Yeah.
About to be an uncle again.
Yeah. So,
yet another.
And the niece, my current niece.
Yeah, so the entire, all the grandkids,
all the
kids.
All at Blue Christmas.
So many, too many Vecchios. Yeah. That should be you should make that.
Too many Vecchios.
Too many Vecchios.
It does keep expanding. So Eric from Paravel played, that was great. So then we had Micah Patriots, Josh and Rachel. Josh Anderson,
dude.
Friend of the show,
they
was fantastic.
They played Just Another Part of Me.
Oh my gosh, the
Captain
EO song. It was fantastic. Because
they tried to do, didn't they say they were trying to do the other one?
The We Are Here to Change.
And there's no guitar part.
Yeah, Josh said
and
it
just sounded like.
It wasn't that good. It
wasn't good.
But their version was great. Also, I love how they do that, because I love Christmas music.
Yeah.
The Deck the Halls.
Yeah.
The way they do it, like.
Rachel played the clarinet.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It was great. That was fantastic. And Josh already said they'd play again next year, so that's good. I got
Radio
a verbal
Relay
contract.
League was awesome.
They were great. Tim, who used to be in Ohm's Law.
Got everybody dancing.
And you know that, like, their story, like, that
They met through Blue Christmas.
I can't remember the guitar player's name now. It's escaping me. But he was coming to Blue Christmas when we were doing it at Biola, and he said he knew who I was because I would, like, host it back then, but he never talked to me whereas Tim, you know, came up and introduced himself. But then he introduced himself to Tim at one of the shows, and now they're a band. All because of Blue Christmas. And then Ann Lynn finished off the night.
Yep.
Josh and Andrea. Oh, it was like a spectacular
It was great.
Set.
They played, as Anthony said, he didn't realize they played that it was a Radio Brenda Man song.
You heard them play at the beginning of the show.
I've got it on video. I got to post it on the Radio Brenda Man page.
That's great. Because it's a really great version. He did it all with his wife, Andreas, and she did a lot of harmonies that
are. It was really, so it's, he can always make those sets interesting, even when it's without the band. Josh is
He has like his loop station.
He has loop. He's got it. He had a freaking kick drum.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a bass drum going on one of his songs, and he had played a banjo guitar.
Yep, a banjo guitar. What is it called?
And he was doing a lot of stuff, and he's great. I remember at one point he asked for a request, and then all the songs that we said,
yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah, we said like a bunch.
He's like, no, I can't play that one. I don't know that one.
All right, then you play it.
Just do whatever you're going to do, because that's all you're saying.
I know. Well, and then they finished off. So this was great, too. They finished off with Silent Night, and he did it like the version from Pop Box Christmas.
Yep.
Eric Kennedy played his song
from Hot Box Christmas. Yeah, I was pointing that out to Anthony, and then, like, you heard all these songs.
Josh and Rachel played their song from Hot Box Christmas Volume 2.
It's funny telling the story of Hot Box Christmas Volume 1, because I'm like, Phil had to fill it out a little bit, so like... Yeah. To the point where there's the remix of the Valet song, and it doesn't sound like, cause I'm like, can you, cause I was trying to quiz, I'm like, what's different about this? And he's like, are there drum loops on this? I'm like, good. Like, yep. And then that was the one trick pony remix, which was, that was David,
one
right?
One trick pony was like David. Well, David did all the stuff, and I played and Jingle Bells.
You were TM North Star.
I was TM North Star.
Cause you did your What Child Is This?
Yeah. And then, Janelle and I were.
But it was funny because I played that, and then I'm like, "Who do you think this is?" And he didn't know. He thought it was Josh because he said your voice is higher on that.
Well, this was a few years ago too.
Well, also, you know, like,
and when you sing, it's higher too.
I told him. I told Anthony, like, your singing voice is a little bit higher.
It is. But so for those that don't know, I'd done CDs up to this point, and for whatever reason, I had the brilliant idea, and other record labels had done this, and I thought, okay, well, instead of, because we do, the way we did compilations is, we don't pay the bands don't pay us, they let us use the song, we give them a few copies of the CD, and then we sell it and try to make our money back. And so, on this one, we're like, you know, it's expensive to make CDs, what if I just charge the bands, like, I think it was like $100, they give us $100, to help cover the cost. If we get, you know, 15 bands, it'll pay for most of the CD pressing, and then, you know, the bands will get however many CDs, and everyone wins, and that's paid it for up front. And I think we had 1, 2, 3 bands, maybe 4, that said, yeah, we'll do that. And that's not much of a compilation, and so I wound up being like, oh,
still have to get creative.
So, like, we had Rachel do a song, because we had, like, our... like she opened it with like an acapella song.
Yeah.
Then Josh did an instrumental track. Yep. Then I played mine as TM North Star. We had the valet song.
He doubled up on the valet song.
With a remix that is like, I mean, if you listen, the drums are completely different.
Yeah, but
and the guitar is mixed different. I took out like a whole layer of guitars.
Both are exactly the same.
Except that when David submitted it, he accidentally, like, there was an error at the end. I don't know if you heard. Like, Janelle's harmonies, there's a part at the end where he had an older version, and it's just Janelle going, and it totally messes up. She hates that song. Like, Ally's like, oh, you want to hear this, Janelle, the remix? She, like, it's mad. And then, Jen Kendall, I had her do a song.
Which is really good.
Which is great. But you heard about the disaster with that. So her version, it was like, because again, Christmas music, so it was the first Noel.
Yeah.
And she was going to mix it with, like, some other a hymn. So it's going to be, like, she'd start out with the first Noel, and then she recorded, like, it went into, like, a hymn, like, some verses of a hymn, and then back to first Noel. And so David and I were, like, messing with it, and, like, oh, what could we, like, cut out the middle part and just make it? And we were just playing around.
Did you, like, delete it?
Accidentally, like, permanently deleted the middle part. So I had to, like, call Jen. We'd spent hours, of course, recording this, and I'm like... So the recording came out good, but here's the problem. And I think she was a little mad, but she was a good sport about it. And I think we covered, like, you wouldn't know. You don't know listening to it.
Yeah.
But it's why it's only like a minute and 40 seconds or something, because it used to be like a big long old thing.
I feel like on that one especially, because I don't know, maybe because we'll talk about it in a while, but I watched the Wrecking Crew documentary and they talk about Phil Spector, and I'm like, Phil has you have your own wall of sound. Yeah. That you do, because I think about those recordings where I'm like, it's really just you and your crazy layering of, like, so many, especially that Jen Kendall song and, like, just the things that you do. And I'm like, that's exactly, because they're talking about Phil Spector and, like, how he did it. I'm like, that's exactly what you do.
Yep.
So there's the Phil wall of sound.
The Carol Anuer song, which people who did the Kickstarter have heard, is one of the downloads we did. I think in that song there's something like 60 tracks. Like, seriously layered on top of each other. The one I just did for the new Vaudeville Theater.
Like, I think you out Phil Spector'd Phil Spector.
Yeah, there's some... Well, because, you know, with the computer, you can out... Because
with the Wrecking Crew, he'd have, like, 24... He'd have, like, 4 pianos.
Right.
Like, 4 guitars. But that's still, like, maybe 30 tracks.
Yeah.
And especially limited, because this is the 60s. Like, that's, like, physical track recording there.
Right.
So there are severe... So you just kind of took the next logical step.
Yeah, I can just do as much as I want. The one on this CD, I think there's something like... think this one's like a 30 tracker, so it's, you know, a little light for a fiddle one. Yeah, there's just tons of it. It's just fun. So yeah.
Well, like I know with the Brendo Man All Stars stuff, that's how.
Yeah, that's how
they're made.
Yep, that's how it all comes together.
Like you don't even.
Although I probably like Brendo Man All Stars ones probably average like 20 tracks, 15 to 20.
But some of the ones that we were working on when we had like David's equipment and some of the other ones, yeah, we went some crazy directions.
Yeah, that's which. I'm not saying that, I don't know, I don't know if it's good, but that's fun to do it that way. And,
well, again, Wall of Sound. It worked for him.
Yeah, that's right.
Be My Baby.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Well, because I knew a little bit about that, so watching that documentary kind of, because at first, I used to think that, like, the reason why, like, for instance, you lost that loving feeling and things sounded that way because that was I thought that was a trait of like oldies songs.
Right.
But it's not. It's because of that, like there are normal sounding, the biggest hits, it's because they were Phil Spector, right. like just a huge hit after hit after hit, but it's that signature sound, and it's not because it's some ancient weird recording equipment or that all record. No, it's because the way he did it, it's like designed to sound that way. Like the reason why You Lost That Loving Feeling, the vocal, it sounds so washed out and echoey is because that was intentional.
Yep.
Like it's because, and it's not some like weird old, like I just thought it was some old thing. Well, that's why
you can now reproduce that, because if you know what he did.
Yeah. I mean, well, they were talking about that and part of his formula was basically torturing the Wrecking Crew and like just in these crazy recording sessions, but then like the way they did it where they like their mics, they're all bleeding into each other and it's just like, and it creates that very like what I had considered like this is the oldies sound because these songs, but that's because of this technique, not because of any arbitrary like this is what the recording equipment sounded like at the time. Like no, that was a very purposeful sound because it is a very like this, when you hear that, it's a very distinct and very powerful, like, I mean, just some of those, like, watching that made me, like, listen to those Renette songs, and on the surface, they're just these simple pop songs, but, like, the things that he did, like, to make it what it is, like, to make it those powerful, like, you remember them, it's, like, in your head, like, normal songs, because there are plenty, there's hundreds of songs from the time that are just, that don't have that, and like they sound like just any old song.
Well, and you know that, I mean, that's specifically, well, because there's bands that I listen to like in the 90s and stuff that use that, you know, Starflyer as an example, or Joe Christmas that did that kind of stuff. So I was obviously influenced by that, but I remember going up and down from Biola to my house in Big Bear, I would listen to the oldie station and I would crank it up on those songs and just like, I'd be like, this is amazing. I'd love, like, and I would just be comparing it to the modern stuff. And that's kind of where that all came from, is just listening to those layers and being like, I want to do this.
Well, then, I mean, that's, and then when you talk about, again, it all goes back. I guess, like, it's weird because now, like, with history, it's weird to think about, like, that we owe so much of music today to a legitimate insane person that murdered somebody.
Yeah.
But, like, so much of music goes back to Phil Spector when you think about it, like, because like, without Phil Spector, there is no Brian Wilson, there is no Beach Boys, without, cause again, like, you know, Pet Sounds, there's no that, there's no Wrecking Crew, there's no, and then think about like, cause a lot, what happened is like, so Phil Spector, like, the, so many people wanted that sound, that's how the Wrecking Crew became the Wrecking Crew, and then like, the majority of music from that era, and that's a very distinct era. And then if they're without Pet Sounds, there is no Sgt. Pepper, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And even again, you just said like driving back and forth, listening to those songs and that influenced. That's, and as I said, Phil has a very signature sound.
You can tell ones that I recorded versus ones that other people
recorded. And then you have people like, again, also talking about Phil Spector, like one of the most influential engineers of our time, who's making a new, you just showed me this, Steve Albini is, he doesn't, again, you, most people would say produce, but knowing Albini, he doesn't like the word producer. He is engineering a new album featuring some of the, our favorite musicians. You got Steve Taylor, Danielson, and who's the other?
Well, John Mark Painter, who's half John of Fleming and John.
Yeah.
Then you got Jimmy Abeg, who he's done a ton of stuff. Like, well, he was in Vector and stuff like that.
Isn't that drummer guy?
And the drummer from the Newsboys. And he's like the original.
But
like,
he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah. And he's really good. I mean, he's a great drummer, you know.
But just, and then Steve Albini, and he actually, I've heard him talk about this project.
Yeah.
Because they even pulled a quote from it for the Kickstarter. And that's where, because I know you said when I mentioned Albini, because he's worked with all those guys quite
a bit. Well, Danielson a lot.
He's worked with Danielson a lot. And I mean, this is the guy that engineered In Utero and Pearl and Pixies. He did like Surfer Rosa. Like, that's like...
Right. A lot of those kind of bands.
Yeah. So like, so that sound, again, we're talking about sounds here.
Yeah.
And he even says like Phil Spector is his biggest, but then it's weird because that's again where we've always talked about this, that like most artists have a certain level of insanity, and the more crazy the artist, the better the art, but the crazier the person it tends. So when you think about Phil Spector and that he truly was a completely to the criminal level insane, but he's responsible for so much of what music is.
Yeah.
And
Brian continues Wilson
to be.
Didn't commit a crime, but he definitely had mental health issues and stuff, you know.
And then now that I've been watching all these documentaries, which we'll get into, I've been in deep, man. And now I added a new level of like the wrecking. And once you get into the wreck, like they did everything.
Yeah. So what does that say? Like, since I like layering stuff, am I crazy now? What am I going to do?
I don't know.
I think I just have enough OCD that it's fun to make tons of layers.
Does Steve Espin know that Bob Ross was such a head case? not everybody. Like, but Bob Ross, his painting was his way. I mean, if you listen to his whole story, it was his way of exercising his demons.
Yeah.
Like, because he wasn't
the happy tree.
Because he said, like, I never want to. Do because like he was a soldier or something, and he's like, I never want to produce anything like negative ever again.
Yeah.
And so like Spector's hair, I mean, come on, I guess but Bob Ross, I mean, like,
yeah, big hair.
But Spector hair is like Spector at like the Don end was like completely insane.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched that HBO with I still want to watch it with Al Pacino. I heard it was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And, cause who played Phil Spector in Love and Mercy?
I thought it was just a dude.
But it was a good little bit. And then, but I found out like, so they don't really mention, cause there's a bunch of crazy stories that the Wrecking Crew guys have about Spector, but they didn't really include that but there's all these bonus videos.
Right.
And they talk about, they really get into, cause there were sessions, like they talk about, like one of the main Wrecking Crew guys talks about being in a recording session with Phil Spector was there, Terry Melcher was there, who was, again, like, hugely part of that era, but he's also infamously connected to the Sharon Tate murder.
Right.
And so he was in there, and Charles Manson sat in on this recording and was performing. Again, like, just the, when you had, like, Spector and Manson, and, like, or they, did they have any kind of... And that was one of the theories, was, like, were they, like, you know, crazy breeds crazy, and is there a connection, and who knows, like... And then, but then, like, I watched this... Oh, that's what I forgot. I watched this documentary on Amazon. It was okay. I don't know what the point of it was, but it talked about Manson. And just the whole Manson thing is just completely nuts, and how it was like marked the end of the 60s and that whole thing, and then like, but then also his connections with music and the world and like
stuff,
and there's so many crazy like what if scenarios and like and then also like reading interviews, like I feel like for a large part of his later, I think Dennis Wilson was afraid for his life.
Oh, I'm sure.
For a huge amount of time.
He did give us one great piece of art, though.
What was that?
The Ben Stiller
Ben
show.
Stiller.
Benson for the last you bet.
Well, then if you, because this documentary had all that footage of him, like, doing the interviews, I'm like, Ben Stiller really did his homework.
Oh, he
like,
nailed it.
He gets, like, you watch, like, the mannerisms and, like, some of the things, like, it's so, like, completely, it's crazy.
Ben Stiller show is highly underrated, by the way.
Well, when you think about what came out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, like everything.
People
without, without Ben Stiller show, there is no Mr. Show.
Right.
Judd Apatow wouldn't have, like started, like, all those, like, there would have been, like, so many things came out of that.
Man.
And, like, the fact that that, like, that's the thing, like, that, that didn't even make it a season.
I know. What did we get, like, was there 13 episodes, maybe?
Maybe.
Something like that?
Something. It's one DVD.
I think.
It's one DVD.
Yeah, it fits on one. I think I have, well, I don't know, we can move on, but I just, because I'm wondering if people know what we're talking about, and just to, like, give an example, can I?
What are you talking about?
I have, I might be able to play just, like, a little bit of that new song. I don't know if I have it accessible here. So I'm going to look, like, while we're moving. No, I don't know, maybe I don't have it on here.
Your phone.
It might be. If I did, because I think I uploaded it to Drive. And if I do, I just want to, like, play a bit so you can just hear, like...
So you've... But you're overall, you're happy with Blue Christmas? You're happy?
Oh, yeah. I think it went great.
We're two away from...
It's almost
can you believe
the
20th?
That? Yeah. That's nuts. Well, okay. And here's
something... Does it make you feel good that, like, something that you did was...
Oh, yeah.
And it was cool talking to Anthony because I got to tell him, like... Because he's like, what other stuff did you... And I got to tell him, like, our whole... And, like, how through... Like, just all of our exploits, we ended up taking over the like, I told him about the Eddy and, like, how, like, how, like, we got that and, like, all this
they
other
stuff.
They
still call it the Eddy there.
And I'm like, that's still going. Like, that was us. That was you. That was my job that I passed on to you. And you, that you took control of that. And then, like, think about the bands that have played there and the bands, like, every, like, and then all the stuff that, and I told them about Springfest and... Well, Springfest story, the epic saga.
The epic. I know we've recounted that on here.
Multiple times.
The Blue Christmas one is fun because, I mean, it started at Biola, and then it's bounced around all over the place. I mean, this is the first time we've done it in Big Bear, and it's funny because we're like...
But it's almost like a back to your roots thing.
It is.
Because that's where you started doing shows.
Right.
Back when you were in high school.
That was, I mean, the first show I ever did was in that exact room we were in.
So it is like this,
like,
just like time capsule.
Like, it was exactly in that place, except... I had, like, elders of the church mad at me because the first show I ever did that I ever booked, I brought up there was this metal band called Modus Operandi. And the reason I got them, I can't remember how, like, I found them online. Like, this was, like, early, like, proto-internet.
Yeah.
And I was looking around and, like, I wrote an email to them and they sent me their demo CD in the mail. It was the first thing I ever, I'm like, I got a free CD. I flipped out. My brother and I were, like, chanting and so excited. We listened to it and they were like, they actually were like, it was like this dude was a pastor of this biker church. Mm-hmm. They met like in a, like an empty warehouse down by the beach and they were all just like, I mean, like the dude had like a beard down to his belly and like they all wore like, you know, rags. They rode up to Big Bear on their motorcycles and like they're just like, hey, it's a good day to die. Like that kind of thing. And I brought these guys in my church and some of the elders like flipped out about it. Like they were not happy and it was super loud and they were worried, but it went great. We had tons of people show.
Yeah. And that's
and
the other thing.
There.
And I talk, that's the other thing is like, I think when I think about, I don't know how to describe like our careers as doing shows, even though it's not really, I wish it was a career.
I've made some money.
You've made some money.
Not a lot.
But
back in the day I made
more. I mean,
more.
In college we made money on a regular basis.
Well, it's funny. Matthew was asking David. I don't think he... David told me. I don't think Matthew knew he was telling me. But how can men with beards be good Christians? Yes. Well, these were long beards.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no one in the Bible
no
ever
had
beards.
Ever
had right? beard. But they didn't wear, like, the rags, you know, on their heads. But anyway, Matthew's like, well, did shows ever... Because, you know, it wasn't a huge turnout. Don't get me wrong. It was, you know, but it was a good enough... Turn out that, you know, when people applauded, it sounded like there was people in the room and we made our money back and blah, blah, blah. But like at Biola time, look, when I first started bringing bands up to Big Bear, I mean, we would get like 200 or 300 people.
Yeah, we would have, at Biola. Well, even talking, reminiscing with Tim, I'm like, cause he's like, you guys had some big turn. I'm like, yeah, I guess there were like a couple hundred people,
200. I think
those
like,
cafeteria shows,
the biggest one,
and then like that pop
like,
shot, we had a ton of, there was a lot of people there.
Probably Biola,
and that sub
was like
show, some of those sub shows, like some of those spring fests.
The biggest show I ever did, the biggest turn I ever had, I actually did it out in Palm Desert.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
And it was like the fantastic lineup. It was Spivvies, Javelina, Starflyer, Joy Electric, Upside Down Room, 78 Rally played, and except there was when they're underage, and Fine China played, and we had about 450 people that came out. That was the biggest show I ever did.
People.
Which is, I mean, it was fantastic. Like, it's a little different scene now. Like, it's A, because, you know, music is different and people are different, and B, because I was in high school and junior, or in college, and I had the time to like be out there and have people come. And
well, I told him, I used to tell, cause he's like, how would you get people to come? I'm like, dude, we used to pound the pavement, and there was an established scene, so we could go, like, that's one of the reasons why we went to shows so much was
passing out flyers
and making, cause I'm like, you could go to a show, like, you could go to Chain Reaction, pass out flyers, and you knew that, like, a chunk of these people are going to come to our show.
Right.
We go down to the hub. We go to Fullerton.
Right.
We go to wherever.
Put them up at the other schools.
Yeah, just there was a scene that we could, and like we knew we were going to get a certain turnout.
Right.
Like even like my dumb little show that we put on in that backyard. Yeah. Like we're like, well, we know there's going to be at least 50 goth kids, and sure enough, we had like 50, 60 goth kids show up. And that ended up being like a pretty epic show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's,
like,
it's different now. It's hard, but it also, I mean, this one was tough because I'm not up there. The deal was like the dude up there had to promote it. And you know, I don't think he knew exactly what it was going to be. By the end of the night, he was like bouncing off the walls excited. Like, these are the best bands I've ever seen. And now he wants to do it up there on the regular, which is kind of cool.
Good.
So
I was trying to tell him, like, the other thing that like that went along with it was, like, it was kind of this, like, never-ending battle. Like, we were always fighting with either
school,
like, venues
or
but Biola especially, it was just, like, a never-ending battle. It was always something.
I can't tell you how
many
times I
met
with the dean or whatever.
I remember just, like, constantly just, like, whether it was somebody in student government, we were always on people's, like, we were always on people's shit list.
Yeah, and why
didn't everything
they want us
was
to?
A fight. And then I even said, like, I was talking to Tim, I'm like, cause I'm like, when you think about it, like, how many people did we bring through that school's doors that never would have even been in that school? And I'm willing to put money on the fact that people went to that school
because of the shows we did.
And how many hundreds of thousands of dollars is that?
Yeah.
And I'm
even
like,
even if one person.
That's all like $100,000.
That's $100,000 right there.
And I know we got more than one person.
Well, the part of how, so I mean, I was already doing shows, but I went and, I remember my freshman year, the first week I was there, and I was walking down through, like, the coffee shop down there by Common Grounds, and I hear Velour 100, which is a band that I loved at the time. They were on Tooth and Nail Records, and I hear them playing, and I'm like, this is like a live version? Someone's covering this? What? And I walk, and Velour 100, this band that I adored, was playing at the school I was at, and I didn't even know about it, because that's how bad, there was like 3 people in the room, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, like, Velour 100's here. And again, you know, the scene at the time, and the people that I knew, like, this was a thing. And so, from that moment, I'm like, well, I gotta do shows, because if this is all that they're doing, like, there's a huge need.
Yeah. And then luckily, it was all just kind of the right place at the right time, too, because we had pretty much free reign at the radio station, and through the radio station, that's how we could promote these concerts, and we had money for concerts through the radio station, and luckily, we had, like, our staff supervisor would just rubber stamp everything that we did. We had a staff supervisor that let us do whatever we wanted. Yep. We had Veronica, who helped, like, we would come up with these crazy schemes, and she made it happen, like, financially and, like, making sure all the crossing the T's. And because of them, we got to do it. We pretty much had free reign.
Our secret weapon was the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Because no one would let us use, like, their big meeting rooms and stages and stuff. It was really hard to get those. But for whatever reason, this, you know, the cafeteria is run by Bon Appetit, a separate company. Yeah. And I just, I hit it off well with the dude, the Steve.
He was really cool. He was a cool dude.
And I explained what we wanted to do. Cause basically we wanted to set it up, but we had to move all the tables out. It was hours of work.
That's why it was always, Blue Christmas was always just a huge ordeal.
But I told, he's like,
cause it took 2 or 3 hours to set up and 2 or 3 hours to
at least
put back. Yeah. Like,
because
he had to put everything
exactly.
He's
like, you can use it, you can do whatever you want, but if I get there in the morning and I can tell something was moved, then you never can do a show again. And we never, every dot was dotted, every I was dotted, every T was crossed, every table in the
being in that cafeteria until like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yep. But we, it was great. And I remember too, the first time we did it, people were like, we're going to see a band in a, at the cafeteria.
We had like 200.
And you walk in, we had the whole floor cleared, it was decorated with blue lights, the stage was built, we built like a temporary stage in there.
Dark and cool.
Lighting and stuff, and it was amazing. And ever since, like, we never had people, had trouble getting people to go to shows in there anymore. So, man. So this is, so it's funny because, like, we did 18th annual up in Big Bear, and most of the people there had never heard of Blue Christmas. So I'm like, welcome to the 18th annual Blue Christmas. And I'm thinking, a lot of these people, this is their first one, but it's cool. And, you know, it's a tradition that gets to keep carrying on. So yeah. I'm happy with that. Janelle and I are the only two people that have been at every single Blue Christmas. But there's a lot of people like you and Matthew and David, my parents, that have been to most of them. You know, only missed like one or two here and there, so.
It's crazy. It's kind of a perspective on my life that the first Blue Christmas, I was just 18-year-old Brendo. And then like young Twig David,
yep.
Kid brother David helping us out.
Yep.
At the very first one.
Matthew was saying, like, he remembers being, like, you know, a little kid, you know, like in kindergarten running around at shows in the back that I would put on. Cause, you know, Audrey and Luke are running around doing that. Yeah. He's like, I was that age doing that. Cause the first show I did, let's see, 18, 17, I would have been like 15 or 16 the first time I booked a show up in Big Bear. And
because when I met Matthew, he was like seven
so that would
or
make
eight.
Him like 5 or 6 yeah. like when I first did those shows. And so like what Luke is right now, he was running around in the back like doing that same thing. So that's how long. The crazy part, PopVox Music didn't start. The first two Blue Christmases were just KBBK. Like PopVox Music didn't even exist.
Yep. It was still in its early planning stages.
Do you know what we almost called what our second choice for the record label was? We had narrowed it down. We had a bunch of ideas.
I think I know.
We'd narrowed it down to two. And for a while, when we were inviting bands to be on that first comp, we used the other name for like the first few bands. And then we switched to PopVox. The other name was Charming Nancy Records.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Charming Nancy Records. There was no like specific reason for Nancy. We just thought it sounded cool. And so like a couple of the bands, that was like the contract we gave them said Charming Nancy Records at the top. But then we like decided we like PopVox better. So,
I don't know. I think it's cool. I feel like we can say that like we've been doing that. We've done it. We're doing something fun, cool, and we've been doing it for that long.
You want to know another mind-blowing thing about PopVox Music? The initials PV, Phil Vecchio.
Yes.
PopVox. And Matt. The music, Matt, PopVox, Matt, Phil Vecchio, Matt, PopVox Music. Yep.
You guys, at the heart, you're narcissists.
Yes, we were. Yes, that has not changed. That has not changed at all. So, yeah.
I just think it's cool that, like, you have stuff you can, you have a body of work.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And I feel like that's... That's one of the secrets to happiness and fulfillment in life, because otherwise, what are you doing?
Well, it's part of what this new one has been so fun, because getting to have Luke and Audrey, like, they're so excited they're on a CD now. Like,
yeah.
I showed them their name in the credits, you know, like, they're just stoked. And it feels like, and
you're making your mark.
Even, I know that, like, digital is the thing, and I realize very few people buy CDs anymore, but few people do. And,
people bought Adele CDs.
People bought, well, they did, and people bought Radio Relay League CDs at the show at Blue Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, they did pretty good for themselves.
My mom said she dropped $45 at their table, and there was a line of people behind them. So they probably did okay. But something about having a physical thing to hold that says your name on it, that says, like, I did this on this thing, like, it's pretty cool. So.
Make that thing.
Do it, everybody. Yeah, seriously. Anybody can do it.
Do that project. Put something back into the world that wasn't there before.
And as always, if you make something, let us know about it.
Yeah.
Send us one. I want to see. We'll talk about it.
Speaking of sending, we got some reader mail.
Yes, let's do reader mail.
What are you doing, man?
Just trying to find that song, but I'm, like, logged into Janelle's thing.
How do you get logged into Janelle's
thing? I don't know what happened.
You and your phone. You know there's also a Google Drive app.
I know. I saw that, and it said, do you want to use this? And I was like, dang it. All right, let's read some mail. All
right. Hold on one second. I just want to make sure I didn't miss something. Nope, I did not. All right. Mario, we got a couple.
Okay. Couple pieces. From Mario here.
These came immediately after we stopped recording.
I remember that from last week.
Yeah. All right. So if every time an assignment – oh, he's talking about his job. If every time – see, this is some nice reassurance from Mario here. I really appreciate it. If every time an assignment ended meant that I was fired, then I've been fired at least 50 times. I'm just passing through at this and every assignment until it ends. Thank you for that, giving me some perspective.
Yeah. That's right.
Someone mentioned Evil Dead. Todd in the book of Pure Evil feels related with teenage angst and blood spatter everywhere.
I remember that was like Mario's thing for a long time, so I'm glad to hear you haven't given up on your fandom there.
I've watched it, but the thing that took me to watch it was Jason Mewes personally giving me a copy on DVD. But it's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
You've watched a couple.
I watched... I can't remember, like, the first couple.
Because Vicky was talking about it, too. I know Vicky is a fan.
Yeah.
And, all right, so then he sent a second email. Today in Radio Brenderman, snore, snore, snore. Wake up, Brenda.
This was from the episode in which you fell asleep.
I feel like that's going to get pulled.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. I was talking to David, and he's like, you're not going to let him forget that, are you? And I'm like, oh, no, this will be a regular... Let's talk about the time when Brendan fell asleep on the show. While we were interviewing other people, no less. While I'm like, how come Brendan's not chiming in? Like, I'm just saying stuff. Have you listened back to it?
I watched a video.
You're like, because you had already kind of like real. And then I look over and I'm like, oh my gosh, he is like fully asleep right now. What if we had just like gotten up and left? And you like woke up. We should have done something like that. And you're like, recording. And you're like, oh, no one here. That would have been awesome. Oh, what a coulda, shoulda.
Amazon bedsheet review sounded like the lost opening chapter of Romancing the Stone.
That was the greatest review of all time. Greatest review
ever. We're never going to be able to top that.
We'll find other funny stuff, but that one was. I love the Romancing the Stone reference too. I know exactly what he's talking about. Yes.
Speaking of that, like, did you watch Back in Time yet?
I still have not, no.
Without Romancing the Stone, there is no Back to the Future.
Really? What's the connection?
Robert Zemeckis kept constantly, like, he wanted to make Back to the Future forever, and they kept saying no. Then he made Romancing the Stone.
Since that was successful.
And they were like, okay, fine. Yeah. They let him do whatever, they're like, because once that was like a huge hit, they're like, whatever you want to do. But he was just, he's still very bitter about the fact that that's what it took.
Yeah, but Romancing the Stone is great.
Yeah, but it's just crazy that if, cause he's like, that never would have happened if they had just let him make Back to the Future like he wanted to.
That's one of those ones that I remember watching as a kid and being like, not traumatized, but like that, him getting his hand bitten off, like embedded deeply into my psyche, like, whoa. Sort of like Luke and Audrey, I told you about that when we watched Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah.
And then like, he would have died, like you can't live without a hand.
All right.
Thank you, Mario.
Mark Bolton. Good old Mark.
What's up, Mark?
Good evening, gents. Also, the subject of this was RBM is the greatest show.
Nice.
So we're the greatest.
Thank you.
You can put that can be like a pull quote.
That's true.
We're the greatest.
Yeah.
Mark Bolton.
That's great.
Oh, speaking of, I don't know why this has to do with anything, but I officially submitted our WonderCon.
Oh, nice.
And I was able to be like, we did all the big conventions.
Yeah, last year we did the big ones.
All of them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you be fools.
You fools.
And then I once again submitted the Benview Network one, which we have never gotten approved.
Hey, one of these times.
I figure one of these times eventually.
Why not?
I mean, how many times did we submit Webcomics Advocates before we finally got
that?
That took like 3 years.
Yeah.
Longer than that. Because we started doing panels in like 2009, and we didn't do it one until 2013. We didn't get picked.
Yeah, so
that
was like 4 years.
Because we applied every year. So you just... I feel like we're maybe like a year away from if that's after
great.
Because I've been doing Benview Network ones for almost ever since. I just think that would be so much fun if we all got to be talking about podcasting. I think it would be awesome. I hope they can realize that. Maybe they'll figure it out.
There needs to be more live podcasting stuff too.
Yeah,
like, I think there's a major. I mean, I know there's a little bit of that going on already, but. I just think
it'd be a lot of fun if we had everybody up there and finally, because I know I feel like Derek would be like a star and something like that, but it has to be in the right context. And I feel like that's where it could work. Unleash the Derek.
I also want to do more with the LA Podfest this year, of course.
Dude.
So
yeah, we got to get on that.
Definitely.
Yeah, start.
I guess it's a little far off, but not that far.
You gotta start making plans.
If we could do an indie stage there or something.
Be freaking sweet. Well, already, I mean, like, gosh, that was so awesome.
Oh,
and then I think about what we could have happened if we had been there the whole time.
Yeah. Well, now we know.
And, like, now that we have a good, like, idea, and also we know people now, and, like, we have our little group now, I feel like. And.
If only we'd listened to Craig from The Res earlier.
Man.
He's telling us.
He was.
He was raging at us because he kept telling us to listen to it, and we're like, yeah. And
then we were like, this thing, and then Andrew went, and he's like, you guys, you gotta go to this thing.
We're like, yeah, sure. And then we went, and now we're like, whoa, we should have been going. Speaking of that, Craig, if you're out there, the kids have been asking about where the wreath is for this year, but they miss it. They're like, oh, when is Craig gonna send the wreath? And I'm like, he doesn't have to send it every year, but... Just know that they do love that, so, you know. What if Craig did send it and New Kaipa lost it?
How would you even know?
I don't know. Did you send it, Craig? Did New Kaipa lose it? This is a good chance for him, too. He'd be like, yeah, I totally sent it. Probably your post office lost it. Because we found out they lost something else of ours.
My mom sent me, like, a real gift this year and not a Gale's box of random.
Yeah, I helped.
So it's kind of...
I helped with the
gift. It's, like, cool, but also... I like Gail's random box of stuff.
I know.
But, I mean, because it was always fun, because it's just like, what is a nerdy 35-year-old man like? Well, yes, I'll get an entire run of RoboCop comics and a Spider-Man Pez gun.
Which is great.
And a goofy alarm clock and a pair of binoculars. Like, those are all things that have been in Gail's box.
Which is great.
And then some towels.
Yeah.
And some socks. This year it was a very nice jacket.
Ooh. Yeah, and I helped. I got to help.
Which makes me wonder, now,
what?
Does mom listen to the podcast? Because I was talking about the jacket thing on the podcast.
Of course. I'm sure she does.
So now I'm a little concerned.
It's good. You just gotta be nice. You're usually nice.
No, she's great.
Also, so this is good. I have to tell you this real quick. My mother-in-law, you never know, she does similar boxes sometimes.
Your boxes are like, your mother-in-law's boxes are this weird combination of like, oh, this is nice, and then it's like, what the heck is this? Or why? Or just like, the food items are always the...
In the last 4 weeks, we have gotten 7 large size boxes from her.
Well, she's still just sending
a lot of Janelle stuff. But for me, for Christmas, she actually went on Amazon wishlist and got me Amazon wishlist stuff.
What?
Which she does every once in a while, and that's like the best, you know. But so the one thing I was going to say, I got this really cool thing. I got I had put it on there, obviously, a guitar pick punch. And it comes
nice.
With all these plastic
sheets,
so you just like punch, you can use like credit cards or any like plastic sheets. So I have one now. It's really cool.
So we can make like radio. You can make Radio Brendo Man guitar
radio
picks.
Brendo Man ones.
We can make the Brax guitar pick.
That's why I put it on there. So I just have to figure out a way now. Because
he's
like,
shaped like a freaking
we have to. If you can help
pick.
Me figure this out, to print on a little.
Well, we just got a
plastic sheet or something. I don't
figure
know how
out
do
how
it.
To do that. That seems like a Matthew thing.
Maybe so, yeah. Well, if anyone out there has any ideas of how you could do it, because, you know, again, well, you sure, can cut, like, a credit card thickness.
I'm sure about, if we went to, like, a Staples or a Kinko's.
Something like
that, they might have, be able to present some options.
Because I have the punch now. It's cool.
I mean, we could even do, like, you get that material and you do, like, a decal or a sticker.
Now, it came with a bunch of, like, you know, pattern ones, that you know, like a bunch of different material to make it out of, but yeah. I don't know how that would work. I guess you could put it on those.
You can also just hand-draw brass.
Well, yeah, that's a totally different one.
So if you want it, you can make some handmade guitar picks.
That'd be great. Well, anyway, that's pretty cool. She sent me, like, some books and stuff, too.
I'm jealous. I mean, I got a cool jacket. Yeah. I also got a random men's medium vest.
Yeah, which wasn't
maybe
from
I
her.
Should put that in the Radio Bruno Man tie.
Yeah, does anyone out there want a men's medium vest?
Carhartt vest.
It looks nice if you're into vests. Yeah. I don't think it's a. Do they even make vests like for dudes our size? I don't know.
I think they do. I've seen, like, again, I feel like that's a stereotype of fats in movies.
Yeah, but I don't see actual people.
I feel like Dan Taylor, is that from that John Goodman, Roseanne?
Oh, it's not Dan.
Is it Taylor? It's Dan.
But it's not Taylor. What's the Roseanne
Arnold.
Last name? Arnold,
no,
yes.
No,
that's the real. Now you got me thinking.
Ugh, no.
What is Roseanne's last name? Well, in the show, it is Dan.
Isn't it the Taylors?
Yeah.
I feel like it's... No, that's Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah. Tim and Toolman Taylor. What is their last name?
Hold on. I'm going to find out.
All right. This is driving me nuts. Someone at home is screaming right now. It's...
Connor.
Yes.
Dang it. Some of the people are screaming. I feel like Dan Connor wore those kind of vests.
I guess so.
I feel like it's like a real working man.
Yeah, like I guess outfit. If you don't do like stuff with your hands, wearing one I think might feel inauthentic.
Because it's like Carhartt brand, which is like a working man, like Dickies type. So it was weird because I'm like, my mom knows that. Why would she send me this? It's a medium vest. She's like, I didn't send you that. I think it was like some kind of weird Amazon glitch.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they felt bad.
It was addressed to me.
They felt bad about the pants thing. And so
I thought it was another pair of pants. So I'm like, wow, I got four pairs. Buy two pairs of jeans, get two more.
Buy two, get two free. It's a BOGO.
I'm like, are they just going to keep sending me pants? Like, but no, it was this weird vest.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I don't know what's going on with the vest. And it's also, again, a men's medium, which is just like, I tried to put it on. I'm like, whoa, this is not going to.
That wouldn't have fit me in my, like, skinny.
I don't even know when I don't think I've ever worn a medium. I feel like even in high school, I think I went straight to a men's large.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember ever. I mean, probably in junior high, maybe.
It's really small.
Yeah. So
like I put one arm in and I'm just like, all right.
this is the one.
Wait, what happened?
So Mark Bolton wrote to us and then we got as far as good evening gents, Mark Bolton chiming in again.
Wow. That was weird.
I don't know. You started on some tangent there and then we just deleted it.
We'll finish.
So back to Mark.
I finished episode number 195 yesterday. What episode is this one?
We're on 197. So that was two. That was the theater kit.
So he even says, finished episode 195 yesterday and had some thoughts. Firstly, I was really sorry to hear about your job troubles again, Brenda. Oh, yeah, because that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
Although, well, we'll talk about it, but.
Hang in there, man. You'll find a job worthy of having Brenda Man grace its presence soon enough. I'm hoping that's the case. For episode number 200, you should play Fireball Island on air again, but make a crazy wager.
I like this idea.
I don't know about this. Like, the loser can't play video games again.
Like we did before with the other thing.
Or has to record number 201 in his undies. I don't think either one of us would appreciate that.
No, I don't. That's a punishment for the winner.
Something like that. The Theater guys were cool. They seemed like a good fit for all the pop culture and nostalgia talk we all love this show for. Well, I agree.
The Theater. I guess it is, because it's theater.
Theater.
Theater. Yeah. Yeah, they were nice guys. Even if Brendan did fall asleep in the middle of talking to him.
When you get to plugging Amazon, ask me if I'm busy. Okay.
All right. Steve's sending enigmatic messages.
He was asking what size about the vest.
Oh, yeah.
And I said size? Medium, and he said never mind.
Yeah.
I don't think you're medium.
I'm not sure.
I bet you we could, like, if I gave it, like, Luke could probably fit into it in a few years.
I guess.
I don't know. I feel like I'd probably give it to, like, a homeless shelter or
donate
something.
Donate it or something.
I don't know.
All right, what else did Mark say?
Because I can't return to Amazon because it didn't.
There's no,
most
like,
of them
slip.
Have like a slip.
Yeah.
There was no slip.
Well, you can just, here, you can email Amazon. I have a vest.
I have a vest.
They're going to be like, all right.
Shipped from Amazon. I don't know.
Keep it, I guess. Because there's no tracking or anything on it. Like,
there's like a label on the envelope.
I guess.
But it just says from Amazon Fulfillment Center to Brendan Creasy. But there's no.
Yeah, but it says your name on it. That's the
no
thing.
No gift receipt. No regular receipt. That's where I feel like it's some kind of mistake.
It had to be. Did you accidentally add a medium vest to your wish list?
No.
Oh, good.
I don't add clothes to my wish list because what if somebody gets me clothes?
That's like getting clothes on Christmas.
Which I mean, not like my mom again sends me like socks and stuff.
A jacket's different though. That's
jacket's
like a cool thing.
I mean, I get so hot most of the time. I'm not sure how often
it is. It's supposed to get cold this winter.
Well, I mean, it was cold
last
Big Bear,
winter.
But I wore my hoodie and
yeah.
Dude, there was like I don't know if they were homeless, but I don't know if you saw there were people in that Denny's parking lot just sitting there outside.
Uh-uh.
And when we were leaving, and I was like, "What? That's crazy."
Growing up, I mean, like living there, it's not like. I was wearing like a light sweatshirt and I was fine.
Couldn't you like literally freeze to death?
I mean, you could, yes. I'm not saying that, but you do get used to it though. Like, if you saw like what I used to wear a thin flannel, jeans, and tennis shoes when there would be like 3 feet of snow. I'm not even kidding. I would walk to school in 3 feet of snow and it sounds like an old,
Cause I lived in the snow and I was still cold like every day.
It just, for whatever reason, like,
if you're, like, born in the snow.
I guess. And it also was a cool thing. Like, you could tell the new kid was the one that had the, like, moon boots and the puffy jacket. Like, you know, they're, oh, look at this guy. You know, he's from down the hill. But we call them Flatlanders if you're not from Big Bear. You know, so, like, you could just tell. Like, the cool kids. And I'm not saying I was, like, a cool kid, but I also didn't want to be the kid that was wearing a puffy jacket. So you just didn't. You just wore...
Yeah, I just remember even when I lived in Wisconsin, in Harbin especially, just like the whole, like I was always, like I wore long frickin' underwear, man. Like that's,
well, you probably were dealing with colder temperatures there too. I mean,
it's true.
Even though it's really cold in Big Bear, it's probably a lot colder like in the, you know, far reaches of Wisconsin.
Ugh. I don't even want to think about that. like that's where I'm like, people are like, I want to live in the cold. I'm like, no, you don't.
Then I start thinking about, like, poor Canada, like, is entirely north of that. How is that? How do they survive in the winter?
Again, like,
they're
like,
people.
Born there. That's literally,
yeah, they're
that's
just used
all
to
they
it.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Like, a whole frickin' country.
Yeah. That's up from there.
Great White North. See?
Yeah. Take
and
off,
that
man.
Was, like, Harbin was, like... On the same, like, as, like, the higher reaches.
Yeah, yeah, you're
like the Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, gosh, I've never... That's still, like... Because I tell people, and they, like, don't believe me. That, like,
yeah.
It was, like... Because, like, I remember even Craig from the Rez was, like, no. And I, like, showed him... I remember I was, like, showing stats.
Well, because even in Big Bear, it gets below zero sometimes. And that's nothing, like, even close to that.
I've been in 50 degrees below zero. And that's without wind chill factor. Like, literal 50
well,
degrees
below like a
below
city
zero.
Where they have, like, an ice sculpture
they
festival.
They carve ice blocks out of the river.
Yep.
And then on the rest of the so you're on a frozen river, and there's frozen ice blocks, and it's just ice, and it's cold, and it's the craziest thing. But after a while, you're like, you get sort of, even, it was, I never got used to it, but it was still like.
You know how to, like, you survive in it.
Could enjoy things a little bit. I don't know, but...
That's the kind of thing, though, where, like, you get... If you have a mustache,
oh, yeah.
You get, like, frozen mustache, like...
Freezing. But you had to have... That's the first time I grew a beard, was just because something to have some kind of buffer.
Right.
Like, just because, and I would wear like that, but then I'd wear like a face mask.
Yeah.
And like, oh, it's crazy. And it's crazy times. But I remember now I'm thinking about like when it got to be winter, there was all these like winter treats. And they used to have, so it was like, you get like the one of the common ones was it was like warm, but there was like a stick. And then on it, they would put those like, they weren't lychees, but they were some kind of like Chinese fruit thing. But they were like just, they would dip it in like, I don't know if it was like sweet condensed milk or just something. And it would like harden, but it was like just pure sugar. And then, but it was like hot and you put, oh, it was so good. Just all these like nice little treats. And then, I don't know, it was really good. You would have loved that.
Sounds delicious.
And then I've told you about the dish where it was like this like donut, and then you dump sweet condensed milk on it. And then you would just like break off, like it was like, oh dude, I know your whole thing was sweet condensed milk.
I do have
milk.
A thing for sweet condensed milk.
And yeah, just a lot of those desserts, those really good stuff. So continuing.
Well, real quick, what are we gonna do for 200? Wait, we gotta have something cool. I like the idea of playing, maybe we should do that other game.
Which other one? The bridge one?
The bridge one. Although we could have a rematch of Fireball Island. We could also play, like, we get Matthew to come or something, so we have a third person from Fireball Island.
Well, you destroyed me last time.
That way, if you have a third person, you know, because it adds a little more to the tension.
I'm down with that. I'm down with doing some kind of special thing. I mean, I know we talked about doing a commentary on the first.
Well, yeah, but we could do that too.
One, like, we were gonna do a commentary on the very first one, and then one on the first one.
Yeah, but see, we could still do those as part of the celebration.
It'll be a whole big shindig.
We'll do something. I don't know about the underwear. I'm not doing it in my underwear.
No underwear.
I don't want to do that. No one wants to see that.
Do it in our pajamas.
I can do that. That's nothing.
I'm trying to think of a wager. We need to come up with. Yeah. Maybe we need some audience suggestions.
All right. Yeah, something good. Potential. We got a couple episodes for people to throw out ideas. No guarantees we'll take them, but we'll see what we get.
Appreciate your feedback. Invite all Benview hosts and friends for a last man standing battle royal. I volunteer in tribute.
Yeah, I'm out already. I already lose. If I was in the Hunger Games, I would be the one
I wouldn't even the cornucopia. I would be the guy that died on the platform. Yeah. Like,
you don't get off and it
like,
kills you, right?
I'd make it off the platform and immediately get shot with an arrow. That's just it. I'm that one that just right away.
Yep, that's it. So I don't know who would win in a battle royale of the Benview people.
I don't know. Lindy's like pretty spry.
Yeah. Think so.
But Derek's conniving.
Yeah, he'd fight nasty.
Benson also. Like, think about him in that chicken game.
That's true. Yeah, Benson would slink around in the forest.
But Josh is very resourceful.
Yeah.
I feel like you and me are the first to go.
I think Jesse could probably throw a punch.
Yeah.
We're out. Like, there's no question of that. I'm done.
We'd like mutual.
All right, let's just go. See you, Brendo.
Go jump off a cliff.
We wouldn't make it out of the opening room.
Just be like, we just thought the way we're like, so, this is it. Done. But the idea of, I don't know, like, because I was thinking, I'm reading Battle Royale, so I'm like, what would I do in that? Because, like, the idea of getting shot just sounds so horrible. Because I'm like, what if you don't die right away? Like, I don't want to feel it. Because it's not, like, getting shot sounds like the worst thing. So, like, if I do get shot, I'd want to, like, get shot in the head so I don't even, like...
So it's just over.
But, like, what if you get shot and you survive and then you're just sitting there, like I don't want to bleed out. That sounds horrible.
Like, I don't know.
Just, like, getting shot sounds awful.
Yeah. I would not want to be in the Hunger Games.
And then, like, getting strangled or something, that sounds awful.
We'd be the game makers of this, the Benview Battle Royale.
Cause I feel, okay, so like, cause I can just picture, like, in a Hunger Games situation, as soon as I get picked, I just start crying. So I probably end up getting shot by the guards, cause I just would flip out. Before you even got to that point. Just would probably, like, flip out so much that they just like shoot him.
He's done. Can't take this anymore.
And because like, but then like, I think because yeah, like Battle Royale, I know I'd get killed in the classroom because I would cause a scene. I'd be the kid that like they test the collars on. And then that sounds horrible because like it doesn't literally blow your head up because it's like a small explosion, so it just I guess like kind of severs your throat, like. Ugh. And like that sounds like a horrible death. Any like and then like the other common death in like Hunger Games and those games is like getting your throat cut.
Ugh. That's one of the ones that like Janelle will not watch. Like I have to like tell her to close her eyes for those like
throat slitting
she can't take and getting shot in the head. Like those ones, and that's why when we
Shot in the head is a quick death.
No, but I'm saying like if it's in a movie, like she flips out if she sees that. So when I told her that she should watch The Departed, and I told her I'd tell her the parts to close her eyes in because she didn't
there's
want to see
so many.
Get shot.
That's everybody getting
well,
shot.
Well, yeah, I fell asleep like 20 minutes before it was over, so she watched like the whole closing scene, and she was so mad at me. She's like, "You said you would tell me to close my eyes. I saw like 20 people get their head shot." So, anyway.
See, that's where if I do get shot, I want to get shot in the head.
Cause like, what if it like just lodges in between your brain and your skull and then you have to live with that?
That's awful.
That, like, I think, wasn't that like a Sally Jesse Raphael or something where that happened or Geraldo?
I feel like that happens way more in real life than it does in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, where like it doesn't.
Bullets grazing and other things. Like, that's where, again, like, I don't know, I just can't handle that. But, so that's where I'm just like, I would probably go hide somewhere until. Somebody, but then the idea of just somebody springing up on me, that's how you get your throat cut.
Yeah. Because
then in Hunger Games, they have the added where, like, I would definitely get killed by the environment. Like, as soon as they start doing those environment stuff, like, I'd get caught in, like, one of the traps.
Yeah.
Like, I'd get caught in the fireball.
Yeah.
Or, like, whatever.
Yeah, when she's, like, dodging around the fireball.
Like, I'm dead. Like, I'm dead. I'm like, because, like, people rip on Prometheus all the time. Did you ever see it?
I never did see it, no.
So there's this part, like, spoiler alert, at the end where, like, so this, like, whole giant, like, ship or something, like, falls over and it's, like, rolling towards them, and then like Charlize Theron, it just rolls over and kills her. I'm like, oh, that, because people are like, that's bull crap, and I'm like, oh, that's every normal person,
right,
like
that's
I'm,
real life.
Like, I'm that's totally like in that situation. Like, yes, I would absolutely trip and get crushed by a rolling thing. Yeah. Like, I'm the guy that like again, like what was that movie? Black Hawk Down, where like immediately just somebody just falls out of the helicopter. Yeah. Like that,
that's
I told
it. You're
I'm that
guy.
Dude. Like I just fall out of the helicopter. Yeah. I shoot myself with my gun. I like all those dumb things that people say are dumb. Like
that's what really. Well, that's why I told you before. Like Janelle and I do our cliffhanger game in the playground. Like all those movies where there's someone hanging on and, oh, just give me your hand, hold on for me. Like, I'd be dead. I think my record in recent time is something like 45 seconds. Like, that's it. And I'm gone. And there's no more like, oh, just hold on. When I was younger, obviously in better shape, yes, but there's no way. And if you're holding on the edge of a cliff, out. You're out. No way.
I think about all the times I've fallen down. And like all
I know. Stuff. You're just navigating flip-flops for you as a near-death experience. You even, where were we? In Laughlin? Or I mean, in was it Laughlin you were saying you wanted to get flip-flops?
Yeah.
Like, no more flip-flops. We've had
well,
this
Well, I'm not going to wear them just around the house.
I guess, but we made you swear off flip-flops
well, no,
for all eternity. Because
one, I'm like, I think it's gross. Like, I see, like, the dudes out. Like, there's a dude that goes to all the wrestling shows and he wears flip-flops, but it's just, it's, like, gross. Like, it's, like, I don't...
But I've seen you almost die on multiple occasions
from
this. Speaking of which, okay, I have it in my thing. I'll get to the story later. We should finish Mark's letter.
Well, you said there was something that, like, you had to tell me that was, like, so... What was that in regards to...
We'll get to, it's in my Phil's section.
Okay, as long as you don't forget it.
No, I wrote it down.
Because you said you really...
It's,
I feel like we were going to talk about it.
It's pretty epic. This way people won't tune out early. You don't want to miss it. Up all next right. on Radio Brendo Man.
On to the answering of the pen pal question from Denver NTLD.
This is Mark writing to Denver.
I don't really have any toys from my childhood. Because he was asking him, like, did you keep
Yeah, what would you keep or what do you wish you had?
And truthfully, there's none I would really want back desperately. It'd be nice to have my He-Man and Transformers figures. I think everybody says that.
Yeah, those are great.
Also, they're worth a lot of money.
And they yard-sold my He-Mans and Transformers.
I don't know if He-Mans are worth that much. Transformers, definitely.
I think, like, in the box, He-Mans are.
Yeah.
He-Man?
He-Man.
I think it's He-Mans. He-Man guys.
Yeah.
Because I sold one. Remember, I got one from Smirker stuff. I mean, I didn't get a ton, but I got something like 50 bucks out of it.
Wasn't that a boxed one?
It was a boxed one. Yeah. But it was, like, really beat-up boxed.
I know, like, Castle Grayskull, even out of the box, is worth a lot of money, which is crazy.
Oh, that Goldberg when he smashes his Castle Grayskull. He was, like, doing a trick on him. And he's like,
yeah. Just the level that they go to when he takes apart the video character. I feel like, but that's something that really happened, I guess. And, like, I feel like at some point Adam would have just, like, broke.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, when he break, like, his video camera, like, that's his whole life.
I know. But, I love that show.
Like, over a baseball. Like, he thinks he's like, I got him. And then he just, and you don't know what Barry's going to do. And he just, like, is breaking apart the Castle Grayskull. Which is just like, no. Oh.
All right.
Goldberg's so good.
Goldberg's really, really good.
Did you watch the Princess Bride episode?
I did see the Princess Bride, yeah.
Did you just
flip
out?
Awesome.
We got time, we'll talk about
that. Yeah, okay.
I was right, though.
Yeah.
Because that was,
very,
like,
very similar.
That was, like, the most, like, true to your life thing that I never, like, something that I never even thought about, but now I'm like, so now you know that somebody else took up fencing.
You saw a little bit of what, except that, like, I enjoyed doing it and actually stuck with it for
a long
time.
But he did it just so he could have swords for his movie.
I actually did it for several years.
Do you still have your foils?
I do.
Do you have your, like...
The mask? I got the whole thing. I even have my electronic set for, like, electronic scoring. Because we have one sword that has an electronic tip.
That keeps score?
Yeah, it keeps score, like, you know, Olympic style.
I was always... The thing with the helmets that freaks me out is there's that, like, crossbar.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, smash your face?
No, if you have one that fits well. It does hurt, though. Like, in the thing that shows, like...
Well, because I remember even, like, when Barry did it on, like, Storage Wars, he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it stings. You get used to it.
But, like, on the thing where he's just like,
But, like, getting hit on your hand especially? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It does hurt.
It's fun. I remember Katie even told some stories about, like, she got... Because she said she got hurt.
Yeah. Oh, but this... Thinking about doing stick fighting next September. Steve wants to buy my mask. I can't. I can't let it go. I know. I should, but I can't.
Stick fighting like Kenpo or something?
Yeah, well, we actually did. So, in addition to doing, like, foil, we worked with epees and sabers a little bit. And then we also did katana blades. But we just had, like you know, wood ones or bamboo ones. But one of the, like, our favorite activity we'd always ask to do is we practiced in a gym and we'd all go, I think he called it four corners, where basically it was a free for all. He'd have everyone stand in the four corners and go, okay, go. And then we just would all run, like Braveheart style in and just sword fight each other. And
how have you not done that? Cause like when we watched, I remember the first time we saw those LARPers behind the convention center and they're just like with swords.
But see,
how have you not, like,
the difference is that we were actually doing, like, real, like, keeping score. Like, it's not just pretend. Like, you're actually trying to...
Filipino martial arts. So Steven's doing Filipino martial arts, like Eskrima and Kali.
Yeah, I'm too much of a pack rat. I couldn't let it go. Plus, what if I wanted to...
Do you still have your, like, sword fighting skills?
Probably not. I mean, I was good. I mean, I wasn't fantastic. And I didn't ever... I think I did, like, one...
Did you do competitions?
I think we did one... Like, we did within our class, and, you know, like, we had a bunch of people that did it, but I think we did one where we actually met up with other people. I can't remember for sure, though. Mostly it was just amongst ourselves, but I think at the peak there was something like 15 people, so we'd take turns fighting each other. My brother did it. I think Matthew might have done it for a while, too, but David did it for a lot, and he carried it on into college and stuff. He actually led the fencing club in college, so...
Viola had a fencing club?
Well, when he did it, he started it. That's what I mean. Like,
he's the Max Fisher.
Yeah, he was. He's Max Fisher of Viola.
Was that why you, like, was it, because that's, like, at the very beginning of Rushmore, so when you saw him fencing, you were like, yes!
Oh, dude, there's so, Rushmore, there's so much stuff in Rushmore.
All the activities.
Oh my gosh.
I'll send you a video of an example in the Facebook group.
I would like to see that, yes.
Nice.
It's fun, though. The katana ones really hurt, because those, like, even though they're, like, bamboo, like...
Oh, yeah.
You smack each other pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Well, that's, like, those practice, those kendo sticks, that's, like, a go-to weapon in wrestling, just because it makes a good noise, and it hurts, but it doesn't hurt. But those guys, they really smash each other with them. But, yeah, that's a go-to wrestling weapon.
Yeah.
Are those kendo sticks. All right.
We're still in the middle of Mark responding to Denver. We were really going through this.
I wish I kept my Batman Adventures comics, but I think I only had three or four of them. I wrote down some of the podcasts you talked about. I'm going to check them out. Oh, yeah, because Denver gave all his.
Ones he listened to.
So my question to you, Denver, your task with breaking into a villain's secret hideout and dismantling his doomsday weapon.
Ooh.
Which three fictional characters do you choose to be a part of your crack team? Well, James Bond, of course.
Bond is the first thing that comes to mind, of course.
But then you need, like, if I'm like a crack team, I feel like the secret hideout, I mean, crack team to infiltrate, I feel like then I'd, but I also would want, like, can I say, like, just the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah, or like Superman, like, isn't that just like the go-to, just...
Because then you, like, you fly on Superman's back.
Yeah, and then he just lasers it open with his eyes, punches all the stuff, and protects you from any bullets or anything.
But also James Bond.
So James Bond, too, because, yeah, you got that. And then, so I got Superman and James Bond on mine. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Batman, just in case.
Just so you could hang out with Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Or Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, Wolverine would be good.
I wouldn't want to be with too many indestructible guys, because as soon as they realize the other guys are indestructible, they're going to immediately start shooting after you.
That's true. Well, that's why you got James Bond there to kind of offset that.
I feel like in all those situations, though, you're setting yourself up because you're the weak link.
Maybe my third then is Sue Storm, and she can just put a field around me.
Yeah, I'd want somebody that could protect me.
You got
the defense. Me.
You got to have, like, your healer, your wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd have Sue Storm, and she'd just put a defensive shield around me, like a force field. That's my James Bond, Superman, and Sue Storm.
Well, the real question is for Denver, but we...
I know, but, you know, we can chime in on...
Similarly, you're asked with performing at a notoriously bratty child's 7th birthday party. Which three fictional characters do you bring with you to put on the most entertaining birthday performance ever?
Interesting. Well, I think I got the clown from Billy Madison. Hey, kids! I bet you thought that I was dead. Oh, that's a pretty good one.
I would say Big Bird. Kids love Big Bird.
Yeah, and he's tall, yeah.
Or Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, basically some Sesame Muppets. Street, yeah.
Some Muppets.
Although 7...
Because we're talking about fictional characters, like 7 right now. I mean, if you brought a Minion and Elsa.
Yeah, basically, you're covered right there. That's all you need.
And Harry Potter. I don't know. Like, well, do 7-year-olds care about
that's
Harry
a
Potter?
Little old.
But if you brought a Minion and Elsa.
And like Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man.
Yep, then you're good. You're covered.
Set. Yep. Done.
Yeah, you don't need anything else.
You pretty much, I guess you would just need Spider-Man.
Well, Spider-Man covers it, but if you got Elsa and Minion...
Think about your kids. Like, if you had Elsa and a Minion and Spider-Man...
Yeah, what more do you need?
Link.
Link, well, that's true.
That's
specifically for Luke.
But most kids these days...
And he would be happy with Spider-Man.
Maybe, like, Snoopy.
Yeah, well, especially now.
But definitely, like, Elsa... A Minion, like that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having a Minion in real life?
I mean, like, are we like in cartoon
like,
physics or real physics?
Like Bob.
That could be terrifying. Banana. That's what our kids would just want him to say banana over and over again.
One of the chips.
Although I also think Phineas and Ferb would be fun because they could build like crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So that'd be good too. All right. Well, we can't wait to hear what Denver and TLD responds back. With to Mark Letter there.
And he says, love the show, you guys. Onwards to number 200. Getting close.
Hashtag.
Let them cookies cool. And Pizza Toots is my god now.
Oh, I think I might have put it down below, but since he mentioned Pizza Toots, I have a quick story. So, you know this, Brendo. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but Matthew and I in particular have a thing. But do you remember the story about my spaghetti poop by any chance?
No.
Okay, this is Fate Matthew.
Oh, wait. Was this the one where, like, you had some weird poop, and because of it, like...
Well, okay, so Janelle made this spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
It was delicious. It was really heavy on the garlic and whatnot, and I ate it, and the next day, like, had, you know, the movement to follow, and so I had just, like, unleashed this nasty thing upon the world, and Matthew came over to our apartment. This is, like, when we lived over at East Road on the old mansion. And he walked in, he's like, you guys cooking spaghetti? It smells good. And
I was like,
I just took a dump and you said my poop smells good. And he was like, it was so garlicky, he thought that my poo was the spaghetti that we were making.
Because every time you make spaghetti, you like, sometimes you're like, hey, man, I just made spaghetti.
Yeah, when I fart, I'm like, ooh, smell good. So I swear to you, this happened today. So I'm in the bathroom doing my business once again, and Audrey, like, comes in, because, you know, the bathroom I was in is, like, in between the two bedrooms, and she walks into, like, the bedroom, and she's like, Daddy, it smells like pizza in here. And Janelle's like, wah! And I'm like, that's my poop! So I poop with food pizza smells. Poop. So when he said pizza tooth, I mean, like, I had pizza poop now.
That's disgusting.
But it's twice now that I've tricked someone into thinking that food is being prepared and it's just my poop.
Every time I go near your bathroom, it smells horrible.
I know, so. But every once in a while I get one of those that just kind of just passes on through, reproduces it. I didn't even have pizza, that's the thing. Like, I had shrimp the night before, so I don't know.
It's Italian.
It is. Italian is just poo, like pasta sauce. Garlic and pasta sauce. So there you go. That goes along with your pizza toots now.
Was that the epic thing you wanted?
No, that was not even. That was just a minor thing because I saw the hashtag pizza toots.
You know what? That was not a minor thing.
No, tell me.
Stitcher's not a minor thing. And listening to podcasts on Stitcher is majorly awesome.
Yeah.
Go to RadioBrendo.com. Click the Stitcher link. If you haven't signed up for a free Stitcher account yet, use the code BrendoMan when you do. And that's good on all your devices, on your web browser. Listen to the podcasts. It's great. And you can listen to all the Benview Network podcasts. We have finally, we're recording a new Popsicles on Friday, goes well.
All right.
Two of us don't have jobs, but very busy.
Still busy.
Well, Benson's working hard for that money.
I know.
Working hard with those dogs.
But there'll be a new one out. That's good.
Some point.
Very check the soon. Mics ahead of time.
Yes. Well, Derek says he has a new.
That's good.
We also got, you know, Benview on Spielberg, Flagons and Dragons, Friday Night Film Fights, all those ones. I don't know. Grissom on the Run is still a thing.
I don't know. Star Wars Nerds Unite.
They're going.
Have you guys been fighting anymore?
No fighting. There was never a fight. This is all Derek's fault.
And he does like to incite conflict.
And I don't know. I mean, I just disagreed with Tim a little bit.
The friendly disagreement. That's good. We can't have fighting amongst the Benview family.
It's part of the fun.
Well, that's true. Not real fighting, though.
And then be sure to listen to Josh's Extra Damage.
Of course.
Midnight Marinara is always scary. Sometimes I try to listen to it and I get spooked out.
He'd probably do well in the Hunger Games. He'd like come up. He'd be like
he's the guy master that comes of up disguise.
With like, and he'd come up with like some kind of a devious mechanism to get people.
Also,
you know?
David's good with cosplay, so he could probably disguise himself.
Yeah.
He'd be like PETA and like all the camouflage.
Yeah. That'd be good. All right. Now we know. He'd probably win.
There you go. And you know what else is a winner?
What else?
Dreamhost web hosting.
That is a dream come true.
Yeah. What else is a dream come true?
What's that?
Saving $50 at
Dreamhost. That is a dream come true. I've dreamed about
that. And you can make that dream a reality by using the promo code RadioBrendoMan at checkout, and you will save that $50, and you'll get a free domain registration.
That's pretty spectacular.
Promo code RadioBrendoMan, dreamhost.com. Your web hosting ultimate provider solution.
Destination.
Thing. Place.
Stuff.
Host. Go there.
You know where else you can go?
Where?
Deep into the Amazon with Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Holiday season is upon us, and you need all those extra shopping days and the lifesaver.
Yeah, last
second
minute.
Free 2-day shipping.
Did you forget Aunt Edna's present? Just get something on Prime. It'll show up.
You can buy something for $5 and have it shipped to their door.
Just like that.
Free. You also got Prime Now and all the other stuff going on.
Streaming.
You got the streaming library, Prime Music. They just had a contest they were doing where just by listening you entered for like a $10,000 giveaway. So I was listening every day just to enter that. And they got a huge library of music in the Prime library. And Amazon Video, Prime Video, we talk about the stuff we watch on there all the time. There's lots
of
stuff.
That's where Gordon McGibbons.
There's a lot of weird stuff. I found a lot of... Tons
Did you ever
of
watch that
random music documentaries?
The Matthew on the Matthews.
No, he keeps Heistin. Talking. What's a heist?
Oh, you gotta watch it.
Talks about heist.
You gotta watch it. It's really good. It's got Flea,
dude. Flea, and so the last Marin I listened to was Flea and Robert Trujillo, who is the bassist for Metallica.
Okay,
and before that, he was Suicidal Tendencies. For like years and years.
Okay.
And then they did a documentary. Are you familiar with Jaco?
No.
He was a jazz bass player from the 60s.
Okay.
Very eccentric. And he's like kind of the grandfather of like modern bass playing. And like, like he heavily inspired Flea and that style. And even like Carole Kaye talks about him. Like I've watched a lot about Carole Kaye. She's the lady bass player in the Wrecking Crew.
Right, right.
And she talks, there's a awesome, my favorite Carole Kaye video is, we got a testimonial from Steven saying, I'm just buying Christmas gifts on Amazon, using Amazon Prime.
Nice.
So I go, but Carole Kaye, there's a video of Carole Kaye teaching Gene Simmons how to play his bass parts better.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's just pretty awesome.
That's cool.
That's like how awesome Carole Kaye is. And anyways,
and some of those things you could watch on Amazon
Prime. But so the Marin with Flea, and like they just tell a lot of crazy stories, and Flea sounds really cool. He was kind of out of it because he's a dad now, and he had a huge party for his daughter where it was like a Harry Potter themed sleepover, and he's like, didn't get any sleep.
Yep,
teenage,
about right.
Young kid, like young girls are just nuts. And but I think that's cool. Like it's just like Flea being a dad, and then like just he's had such a amazing body of work and career and acting and music.
Not to mention in Heistin.
And Heistin and Lebowski, and even, did you ever, there's a punk rock movie from the 80s called Suburbia, and I think that was one of the first.
Yeah, I watched it with Matt.
And one of Flea, it's one of very young Flea.
Yeah.
And, so that was like my first exposure for, he was in the Van Sant Psycho.
Yeah, that's right.
Lebowski, of course.
Of course.
Cut off a toe. We thought we'd get $1 million. Oh, I missed I was just telling Josh the story of the Lebowski developers at Esri.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, if they want to get all that Prime stuff, they can get a free trial.
All that stuff. Free trial. Go to RadioBrendo.com, click the free trial link, and start your 30-day free trial today.
And while you're buying stuff on Amazon,
click the Radio Brendo. Go to RadioBrendo.com. Click the Amazon banner and then buy your stuff on Amazon, even if you don't have Prime. But if you do, and it's a good way to help the show.
Help us out.
And get deals.
It doesn't cost
Lots
you any
of deals
extra
on
money.
Amazon. They're still doing all kinds of deals, and you got to get that shopping in.
And we got quite a bit this week.
Well, I think people are ramping up that Cyber Monday and other stuff, and. Yeah, a lot of random stuff.
All right. We're going to fly through
got
these,
Arizona Coyotes Mitchell and Ness NHL knit hat.
Okay. Keeping warm.
We got a Physician's Formula Gentle Cover Concealer Stick.
Makeup, maybe?
This is the beauty.
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
We got Guinness Book of World Records 2016. They're still making
still
that
doing
thing.
That. I love
Remember
that.
The Guinness World Records book was like the book?
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to see the fingernail guy and all the weird guys.
The fat guys on the motorcycle.
Fat guys on the motorcycle.
Yeah, classic. Now that and the Ripley's Believe It or Not books, which I see someone that, I wonder if it had to be the same person that got those.
Yeah, because we got High Crimes. I don't know what that is. Let's look.
That's a book? It's a book.
It's a fiction book by Christopher Sabella.
You like fiction books? I like fiction books.
Disgraced Olympic snowboarder Zan Jensen runs a sideline business as a high-altitude grave robber.
Hence the name High Crime.
When a body is found at the summit of Everest with a treasure of state secrets under its skin, Zan finds herself in the crosshairs of a government hit squad. This sounds crazy.
Sounds pretty cool.
As she races to the roof of the world, Zan will navigate bullets and avalanches to find salvation in the deadliest place on Earth. Collecting the critical... Oh, it's a digital comic.
Okay.
Collecting the critically acclaimed Monkey Brain digital comic, the Onions AV Club calls a high concept executed precision, delivering real world intrigue.
That sounds cool.
It's neat.
Yeah.
It's a comic.
I like the art style.
There's a shirt. Nice. I know. That's so how big it is in relation to a person.
How do we know how big that person is?
Well, it has inches.
Still. A dime, that would be helpful.
So you can look inside.
That looks really cool.
It looks cool. Ooh, there's like files.
Ooh, yeah, I love that kind
Phil
of stuff.
Phil saw a dossier.
I love that kind of thing. That's, I told you, like that.
Oh, I like the artwork. It looks like a G.I. Joe cartoon.
It totally does.
It's pretty cool.
That D.B. Cooper comic I read is totally has that, like all that kind of stuff. I love those things. If you want to sucker me into buying a book, just put all kinds of, like, fake documents and stuff in it. Love it.
Okay, we got Lost Ocean, an inky adventure and coloring book.
We got one of these for my sister, for Melissa, for Christmas. They're really cool. Have you seen, like, the super, like, fancy adult coloring books?
Oh, yeah. I got my mom one of those, and she thought it was weird.
Really?
She's like, what are you trying to say? I'm like, I don't know. It looked cool.
It's cool. Because they're, like, real, like, detailed pictures.
I heard it's therapeutic.
Well, Melissa likes art, so we thought it'd be cool.
Marvel Treasury Edition, featuring the Mighty Thor, number 3. I think this is one of those fancy collections. Then we got Ripley's, Believe It or Not, Eye Popping Oddities Annual.
Love those books.
And then here we got a Rapid Dual Car Charger Micro USB for Samsung Galaxy.
Gotta keep that phone charged.
Charger. We got Amazon Basics Micro USB to USB cable. Again, everybody needs those to charge your phone.
Yep. Got a lot of those things laying around.
There's no reason to pay a bunch of money. This one, I mean, I'm assuming, $4.79.
Free shipping.
Boom.
That's all you need.
Yeah. You can never have too many of those. You need one in the car.
Yep.
I got one hooked up to this computer.
We got them laying all over the place.
Got one in my room that I got so I can just charge stuff.
Plug it in wherever you're at.
Yep. All right, we got Trainwreck on Blu-ray.
Nice.
We got Bloodborne, The Old Hunters on PlayStation 4. I guess that's the expansion pack DLC.
I guess so.
We got Amazon gift card, $15. See, even buying gift cards. Get your gift cards.
Christmas cat
card.
Nice.
Craig Frames, 13x19 picture frame.
Ooh, I wonder if you know about that. Just kidding, I know she didn't.
We got Power Pressure Cooker.
Ooh.
Non-stick stainless steel.
Someone's
going to
make some delicious food.
Slow cooker and canner.
Interesting.
At a glance, monthly desk pad calendar. Got to get those calendars.
Got to keep
track. I remember for a while I would buy like a desk calendar planner. I'd use it for like a week and then
that
like,
never panned out.
Never, ever.
I would.
I envy people that are able to use those as an effective tool in their lives.
Google Calendar,
I'm pretty good with.
I have to, because if I don't put something on the calendar, Janelle doesn't think it exists.
For me, it goes into the ether if I don't. Yeah. Like,
but if I say, like, oh, I'm supposed to do this, she's like, it wasn't on the calendar. I'm like, oh. But if I put it on there, it's all good.
Scotch pop-up tape refills.
So they can wrap presents.
75 strips. For a pad? Oh, it's like a...
Oh, that's like...
Pre-cut strip, so it's like pre-cut.
Huh. I wonder if it's for like crafting or something, I'm going to guess.
Or maybe it's for wrapping. Handband mountable. So it's for wrapping, but it's like strips, pre-cut. So you just pull it out, like, as a strip.
Little pieces of tape.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They've come a long way with tape.
Yeah, it's amazing what they can do with tape these days.
I want to read a zero-star review.
Is there a zero-star?
Or a one-star.
Yes. No, there's a one-star.
There's no one-stars. No.
But what's a two-star? Give us a two-star.
I feel like a one-star would have been... The tape is convenient, but it's not worth the money because the amount of tape is so small. I've already gone through 4 inserts. I'm not even done wrapping Christmas presents. Buying a real roll of tape is much more worth it, but it's not pre-cut fancy. Yeah.
You're paying a premium.
Late. See, that has nothing to do with the quality of the tape.
This
review was not helpful.
It says the product is great, the service was not. That's not a review.
That's not a review. Come on. Get it together. That's it. It's overall pretty good review. Yeah,
all right. People like it.
76%, 5 stars. That's good.
That means people went out of their way to review tape they bought on Amazon. That must be really good tape. Because I can say this. I buy a lot of junk on Amazon. I rarely, if ever, do a review, and certainly not of something like tape.
Sunworks construction paper. So we've got holiday projects.
Yeah, doing some crafts. Holiday red.
Sports and outdoors. Majestic Arizona Cardinals. So we got another Arizona thing. Great Move Raglan shirt. I think that's a football player.
Think so?
I'm going to take a guess.
Raglan, like, I thought that was like those, what do you call those shirts they buy? Wait. No. See? Okay, I got you. Like a sport jersey thing.
Yeah. It's a...
I thought it was St. Louis Cardinals.
That's the baseball team. We've been over this.
We talked about this. That's right. It's confusing. They should have different birds. What do they do? They have Orioles. Seahawks. You know there's no such thing as a Seahawk, right?
Yep.
It's an Osprey. It's an Eagle, people.
And but the Seattle Osprey doesn't sound as good.
Yes, but it's a real animal.
Whatever. It doesn't stop any of those sports teams.
Most of them are real things, aren't they?
I don't know.
Dolphins are real.
Yeah. But like...
Broncos are real.
The Utah Jazz, that's like a concept.
Jazz is real. It's a thing.
But
why Utah, though?
Well, I think they moved to Utah. Because that was one of the jokes in... The beginning of basketball was the Jazz moved to Utah where there is no Jazz. The Lakers moved to LA where there are no lakes. All right. So in the toys and games category, we got Crayola Twistables.
Nice. Colored pencils.
We got Funko Game of Thrones Mystery Mini. Those are those packs that get you sucked in, man. We got Lego Architecture, the Eiffel Tower. Those are like those crazy sets.
They're always super expensive too.
Because they're like, I mean, look at that.
Well, that's not so bad, I guess.
I think this is one of the big ones.
Yeah.
Because this is 321 pieces, but then you have like the White House. I mean, that's 560 pieces, $50.
Still more than like you would pay for like a regular Lego set.
Yeah, Eiffel Tower. They are so cool.
Look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
The Big Ben one.
I've always wanted to get one of these.
Look at the Louvre. Look at this one. I mean, that's a Lego Architect book.
Yeah.
But the Flatiron building. So these are just real things.
Yeah.
UN headquarters.
Yeah. So cool.
Empire State Building.
Look at the Sydney Opera House.
Look at the Empire State. Oh, Sydney Opera House. That's a big one.
Yeah. Very cool.
Via Savoye.
So I want to know who got this.
Look at that Brandenburg Gate.
Look at the Tower Bridge.
Tower Bridge. Pretty sweet.
Yeah. Now we're just looking at Legos.
Legos. Big Ben. Fire. So
if someone has like a whole collection of these, I want to see a picture of it too.
Look at that Statue of Liberty. Oh, that's a puzzle. Well, anyways. These look pretty cool. Oh, then they get built.
Yeah.
They're like...
Look at that. So neat.
They're very nice.
Like, I want to see like a whole city of all of these things.
Well, it probably exists somewhere.
I'm sure.
It stands on a base with printed name label. It contains 560 pieces. Well, it's the White House one. Anyways.
That's cool.
It's pretty nice. So Eiffel Tower. Then we got a Pacon Peacock Sulfite Construction Paper.
Holiday Green. Someone got else. I bet the same person that got Holiday Green got Holiday Red. I'm just going to go on a limb.
Maybe.
There.
Possibly.
I'm going to guess.
All right. So that's Amazon for this
Amazon,
week.
Thank you guys for buying stuff.
Everybody.
Keep up the good work. Thanks, Steve, for doing all your shopping on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, don't forget to check out the Facebook group and the subreddit.
Yep.
Go to RadioBrendo.com. There's links to everything. Any Kickstarter news?
Well, yeah, they're still plodding along on the vinyl.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. We knew that.
We got to record some stuff.
We do. We have some bonus Angus episodes commentary, and stuff.
Bonus episodes.
Yep. Now that Blue Christmas and Vaudeville Theater are done, that's the next focus is getting some more of those things out. So that's right. Good.
And Kicker Heroes Clicker Heroes going strong.
Yeah.
David and Kermit gave some good advice. Helped me fine tune my game.
Nice. How many you have spaces left still?
We have like two slots left. We're raking in those
almost there
souls.
And then this
don't
is good.
Forget the gift exchange. We're up to like seven people,
something
six people.
Like that.
We got Mark and Steve, both Steve Espinosa, Steve Day,
the Steves,
Stephen Day, Steve Espinosa. We got you, Matthew, me,
yeah,
and I think one other person. So that's like six.
Well, so there's still. You said the cutoff was the 11th.
I think that's what I said.
So you still have till Friday, basically. Yeah. So
go to RadioBrendo.com, click the Gift Exchange 2015 link. That gives you the form. One thing I did, just a reminder, I did actually edit the page because I think some people weren't sure how to get your Amazon wishlist link. If you just go to your wishlist and copy the URL, that URL is like a generic URL that will bring up, if you paste it, it'll bring up whoever's logged in wishlist. You have to go to the share link at the top and you click that, the share via email, and it'll give you a link.
Now,
for your wishlist.
It's not super obvious.
It's not super obvious.
I had to like Google and be like,
instructions on the page now.
I know that's good.
And
it seems
so
like
you gotta do that. I don't, and whatever. And then also make sure that your wish list has an address tied to it.
Right. Which I feel like, even if you think you did, because mine did before and it undid it somehow.
Double check.
So double check it, because I had to redo it again for whatever reason.
And that's done in these settings of your wish list.
Also make sure that you have stuff in there that people can...
$15
or
less.
Minimum.
And again, unless you really want it, don't put something jokey on your list because that's what somebody will buy. Matthew put liquid ass on his list.
And he got
liquid ass.
Where is that now? I want to know.
I don't know. He said he did something with it.
I don't know. I hope he didn't drink it.
He drank it.
That's
like
fun,
a
though.
Spray.
This is our third annual gift exchange. I'm very excited for that.
So that's what's going on in the Radio Brendo Man greater universe.
Yes. All right. Well, I have a couple things here. I already talked about the Pizza Toot incident, which I was very, very excited about. Vaudeville Theater Volume 2 is ordered, and it should be here.
You had the mock-up out at the show.
And I don't know if you saw, I put up a bunch of pictures, but in the middle of it there's like the 3D preview that CD Baby does. You can find that on the Popbox Music Facebook page if you want to look at it. It should be here. I think the estimate was between the 15th and the 20th of December, so it's coming soon. And the significance to you guys here is that, A, it's got the Ann Lynn song that is the opening track for Radio Brendo Man is on the CD. And it's the first ever, like, fully
credited
Brendo Man All-Star release.
And our official track.
Yeah.
Brendo Man All-Stars.
Official release. You know, we've been on Hidden Stuff, and we've done CDRs and stuff, but this is the first, followed soon by our actual full EP, but it's got a song there, so it's kind of cool. It's got, you know, our names on there and stuff, so it's pretty cool. And if you pre-order it, you get a free copy of the original one, which has the hidden track of
Brendo Man. Discovered by Adam Wells.
Yes, So if you want to get in on that, it's only $10, including shipping for both of those.
Which we did determine, Adam Wells did show that, because I had thought that maybe you wouldn't be able modern CD player technology.
He figured it out. So never underestimate the power of the internet.
It's true.
But that's so at popboxmusic.com.
Christmas.
So Blue Christmas, we talked pretty much about that. Yeah, it was great. So this is the last thing. So after Blue Christmas, we all went out to Denny's. It's kind of like the tradition, going out to eat afterwards.
Traditional meal.
Josh and Rachel, Janelle and I, our kids, you, Matthew, and Anthony, we all went out to Denny's. When we were done, we left about like 12:20 at night. Josh and Rachel had left, and we were you went down the hill with Anthony. We were going back to stay at my parents' house, and Matthew was going back to stay at my brother David's house. And they had arranged for it ahead of time. Amber had like left out, you know, blankets and sheets and stuff for him to sleep on the couch. So Matthew comes in, probably got there at like, you know, a little before one. And he says that I got permission to tell the story. I was trying to get him to come on the show, but I was like, I gotta tell it. So he goes in, he's like, you know, sets his stuff down. He's trying to be quiet and he's, you know, shuffling around. He goes to the bathroom and does all his stuff. And he's like, just about to get in. He's like plugged in his breathing machine and everything. He's about to get in bed, and all of a sudden he looks up, and David is he comes running at him. He is holding up above his head in attack mode a giant hunting knife.
Holy!
He is stark naked, and he runs screaming at him with the knife. And runs at him like he's gonna kill him. Matthew says in his own words, he's like, I thought my brother finally cracked, and I was about to lose my life. Now, from David's perspective, what happened is he's like asleep in bed, and he's like me, like he has
your
like
family,
no, like we wake up
is
disoriented,
ridiculous.
And apparently he sleeps next to a giant hunting knife to protect his family.
And he sleeps naked.
Well, I don't know how often that happens, but he heard like the shuffling around, and he thought an animal or someone had broken into the house. Or a person or something.
What if David had stabbed?
And he said he went running. He snuck down the hallway and then jumped around the wall into the living room and went, ah, and ran towards him. It stopped just in time and went, oh, hey, Matt, I'm asleep. And then he grabbed a pillow, covered his privates, and backed up back down the hallway and went back to bed.
Oh, my God. What kind of... And, could you imagine the phone call? Hey, Mom, Matthew.
Matthew thought he was going to die. Like, seriously.
Why does he have a giant hunting knife?
I know. I said, hey, you might want to move the knife away from your bed a little bit there.
That's scary.
Yeah. So, that happened the night before. After Blue Christmas.
Was Matthew, like, traumatized?
Yeah, like, so how did you sleep after that? Oh, man. But what I was saying, too, is I think that's a pretty effective, like, if that was a burglar and some naked dude comes running after you with, a hunting knife, you'd be like, dude, you can have it. Never mind. I'm not...
So, note to all possible burglars, don't break into David's house.
He will naked knife you to death.
Naked knife you.
I love that after all that, he like covered himself up and like backed up down the hall.
The naked knife man, is that his technique?
Yeah, naked knife man. Because I'm telling you, if you imagine on the other side, I wouldn't be, like, I mean, I'm done.
That's the name of this episode, Naked Knife Man.
Yep.
That takes, because on How Many Your Mother, they had the naked man.
Yep.
Now we got naked knife man.
I'm telling you, oh man.
Did I ever tell you about Soap Man?
Soap Man?
In it's Central, there's this thing called the Soap Man.
Okay.
And it was where some guy started doing it. I don't know why. This is a dumb thing to do in college where you go into the shower, you get all lathered up, and then you'd do it to somebody you didn't like.
Okay.
And you'd slam up against their door, so then there was a soap man on their door.
So stupid.
So it's like, oh, you got soap man.
That sounds like a college thing, yeah.
So it's like, oh, this guy got soap man, or oh, he's gonna soap man him.
Soap man.
But it involved you would have to, again, go in the shower, get all lathered up and then
smack against their door. Yeah. Well, now you got Naked Knife Man. Oh man, I wish I could have been.
I would have flipped out. Like,
well, I think Matthew's like, ah. I mean, Oh man! And the funny thing, again, like it's not like they didn't know.
It's like my Amber worst left out nightmare.
The pillows and the blankets. And the best part is that Amber didn't wake up for the whole thing either. Like everyone slept through it, and David was like half asleep. He just went right back to sleep, and then poor Matthew was laying there, afraid for his life.
Oh my gosh.
So I told Matt, you know, when he comes over, sometimes I make him stay up way later than he wants to. But I'm like, at least I never attacked you naked with a knife before.
That's really disturbing.
Yeah.
I'm never staying over at David's house ever.
Well, if you are, make sure you're in bed before he is. It's like a gremlin, you know. Don't feed him after midnight. Don't come in the house after midnight.
Or the naked knife man will strike.
It's like going to be a new urban legend. Naked Knife Man. Naked Knife Man. Naked Knife Man. You can make the Naked Knife Man appear.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I love that he like had the wherewithal to grab the knife and not put on pants.
Yeah. Oh, no. Matthew said, here comes David running stark naked down the hallway. And he said his hand was up over his head in like attack position with the knife in it. David has big knives.
Ugh.
What? Oh my gosh!
Seriously.
Oh man. So we slept at my parents' house and nothing happened.
I killed Matthew with a knife while I was naked.
At least I got to poop first, you know.
I'm sure that was. That's really disturbing.
Can you imagine? That's so great. I was dying. I was just dying when they were telling me about this.
Naked Knife Man.
Yep.
Watch out.
He's coming for you.
I feel like that could be like a hardcore song.
Naked Knife Man. Coming for you. Naked Knife Man. Don't come in the house after midnight or the Naked Knife Man will come for you. He comes at night. He's naked with a knife. He's got a big hunting knife. He's naked. Naked Knife Man.
I'm sorry, but I'm surprised Matthew did. I would have pissed myself.
Oh, I think he just went to the bathrooms. At least he like had evacuated everything beforehand. Oh man. Anyway, so that happened. That was the conclusion of the Blue Christmas Night. Yeah. All right.
We got a fat alert.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, it's hard to go. Oh, this is like a sweet. This is a tough transition to go from Naked Knife Man to this story.
It's a sweet little story.
But it is a sweet little story, so we'll do it anyway. So, Luke...
A transition can't always be smooth.
That's true. It's not. It's not at all. But I go and help out in Luke's classroom, as you know, and I do, like, the reading groups with the kids and stuff. And so Luke told me on Friday that one of the kids... He was talking to one of the kids. This is under the fat alert section. And one of the kids in his class said... They call me Mr. Phil. That's what the teacher wants. You know, that's their naming convention at the school. And he said, I think he said your dad. He said to Luke, your dad is too fat. And Luke got like really upset and he was like, that's not a nice thing to say. You shouldn't say that about my daddy, you know, like, and the kid, like, because Luke like confronted him back about it, like, pretended like, I meant to say he's too fun. Yeah. But Luke said, he's like, Daddy, he was not really saying that. He said that you were too fat and that's not okay, you know? But I was like, Luke, I'm so proud that like, you know, first of all, he stood up for me, which is pretty amazing. But just that he like, you know, recognized like that that's not a kind thing. I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, like how we talk about people and to people and what's kind and respectful and stuff, but
because we had an incident in Laughlin where, and this has happened more than once.
Yeah.
Where Luke, well, it's partial. I mean, like, I do have ratty old shoes.
Yeah, you're wearing your ratty old
Benson,
shoes.
I've got Benson. I'll admit it. They're full on Benson shoes at this point. Not to Benson level, though.
He's like taking that to an art form, but.
But, and so Luke more than once has just been like, you got old shoes, Uncle Brendo.
Yeah, you need different shoes. So like, you know, and so we talked about, and it's much like kids are innocent and they're not, she's not trying to be mean, but we talk about, you know.
And he's like, but Dad, they are old. And
yeah. And just how like sometimes even if something's true, I'm not saying I'm not a big guy, but it's not nice to say. It's not kind. We're trying to, you know, build other people up and say positive things And, you know, so it was a cool, I mean, it was a good little teachable moment, but, next time I go and help in that classroom though, that little. No, I'm just kidding. Kids say stuff and if anything, it'll just be fire under my belly to.
I get to see you being like, oh yeah?
Yeah.
Santa's not real.
Yeah, take that.
It's like,
who's too fat? Oh, now?
You didn't see Mallrats.
No.
That's part of your why. There's a part where, like, it's a really iconic Mallrats part where the whole time Ethan Suplee, his character is trying, you know, those things where, like, you saw him and then, like, there were 3D pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he can't see the 3D. So he's, like, sitting there staring at one at the mall all day long. And then it's supposed to be a sailboat. And so this kid comes up and he's like, oh, look, a sailboat. And he just flips out. He's like, you know what? There is no Easter Bunny. That guy, because the Easter Bunny's at the mall. He's like, that guy over there is just some guy in a suit. And the kid just starts crying. I can see, like, that could be your revenge.
Yeah. Anyway, it was just a sweet story because I was proud of him and he did a good job. So there you go. There's the most awkward transition from Naked Knife Man to sweet story about a kid.
I spent last week not doing much, but I did have an opportunity to do some good.
Yeah.
And save Janelle. Janelle almost had her field trip canceled because, like, they didn't have enough people, so they needed some volunteers. So I saved Janelle's field trip. We went to this Etowondo Nature Preserve in
Rancho Cucamonga. It's a pretty cool place.
And it was pretty cool. But Janelle is a very wonderful person because, like, just... Those kids are just, they don't stop, man.
Yeah, she does that day in and day out.
They were cool, though. They liked my, I wore one of my, like, Kurt shirt that I knew the kids would like.
Yeah.
It's the one with, like, the tournament with, like, space aliens and
yeah.
stuff. And, like, so they were, like, they thought it was pretty funny. And
they're good kids, it's tiring.
But it's a lot of kids and keeping them all from, like, not, like... Because they just wanted to run and climb on things, and like in that situation, that can be very dangerous.
Yeah,
we had some kids fall. Like every time you turned, if you weren't paying attention, there would be like kids managed to climb up on this thing, and then they didn't even know how to get down from. Or like as soon as I looked away, this kid just started running and slipped. Like immediately, just fell on his face. So, like, we had to keep grabbing these two kids. We eventually just had to grab and take them to the back and walk with us because they would not stop running down the trail. And it's like, that's not safe.
Well, a lot of these kids are not used to, like, I mean, outdoors, like, at a playground, but this is, like, hiking.
Yeah.
And that's new for a lot of them, so.
Yeah. But they had a good time. Yeah. We had a good time, and I got a free sack lunch out of it.
Yeah.
Some Uncrustables. And Janelle brought extra treats.
Yeah, she knew that.
She brought me a soda.
Yeah, she's had to keep you happy. Yeah, she said, Brenda, save the day. Well, because I couldn't go because I had to drop the kids off and stuff, so.
You said you were doing office work.
Well, yeah, and I was at my day to volunteer, cutting holes and stuff. So, anyway, that's a whole other story. But, yeah, so it was good. That was good.
Yep, good field trip. That was my
nice
thing.
All right. Do a quick book corner here.
Book corner. I finished Modern Romance, which is Aziz's book. It was very good. It was really enlightening and actually reassuring. You know, like, a lot of people are like, oh, we're all screwed. But, like, it's not all bad. Like, today's modern, like, dating. I mean, there's some things and it's like, it makes things easier. And other things, it's different. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's not all, like, just doom and gloom. But, I mean, but it was also really funny and really good.
Cool.
I think Aziz did a really good job. It was extremely well researched. I was very amazed.
I would expect nothing less.
And then I'm almost done with Battle Royale. And I participated in an Indiegogo earlier in the year for a book called Lion's Pride.
Okay.
Which is the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Ah. Okay.
And you can actually buy it on Amazon now. If you're interested, it's really good because, like, it's just this really interesting, because basically New Japan, the story, like, wrestling in Japan is very much a product, like it was imported from America.
Right.
Like there was a wrestler named Ricky Dozan who is like the biggest wrestler in Japan. He wrestled in America in like the 50s and then he went back to Japan. He's actually from Korea, but he changed his names because like because he was a sumo wrestler, but he hit this window where he couldn't get any, he couldn't become like a ranked Yokozuna because he was not Japanese, which later on now there is non-Japanese Yokozunas like Akebono. I don't know if anybody's familiar with him. He was from Hawaii.
Okay.
And he is a Yokozuna, which is the highest ranking you can get. Because with, it's weird, with sumo, also in this book they were talking about that, so I didn't know a lot about Japanese sumo wrestling. It's a really big deal.
Well, yeah.
And there's like a, there's a series of rankings that you can obtain just by competing in tournaments. Through pure merit, you can get to a certain level, but then it's like, I guess you could compare it to like college football rankings where it's like an arbitrary up to like coaches' polls.
Huh.
So, to get to like the higher levels, once you get past that level and like to get to like, there's like the lower guys and then there's Yokozuna, which is the grand champion. But to get any of those, it's like an arbitrary, like based on like a group of people, like a, just voting on you. And that's where he couldn't get above that level because he was not Japanese.
Right.
And so he went into pro wrestling. And then he became, when he went back to Japan and started wrestling like so in early Japan wrestling, all the way up to like the 70s and 80s, the American wrestlers, it was always USA, it was always Japan versus foreign aggressors. Right. And that was the, that was all they needed to like, again, and they sold, like, again, at one point, when Ricky Dozan was wrestling in Japan, they got like 80% of the viewers in the country were watching Japanese wrestling. Like, wow. That's crazy. And so he was like this icon, like El Santo in Mexico. He had movies and Japanese manga. And so he's like the grandfather. And then his two pupils were this guy, Giant Baba, who was a legitimate giant, like he's a big dude.
Right.
And then this guy, Antonio Inoki, who was a legitimate martial artist. He was a judoka. He was like a, basically, like he, some of the things that Antonio Inoki did were like the precursors to MMA. Everybody's heard about, I mean, at the very least heard of when Antonio Inoki fought Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
That was Antonio Inoki.
A lot of
people have heard about that. Anyways.
Okay.
He fought Muhammad Ali. It was supposed to be a worked fight, and then they couldn't agree, so it ended up being a shoot fight, which made it super, super boring, because neither of them wanted to lose, so Antonio Inoki just went on his back, and like did like, and kicked Muhammad Ali in the shins for 10 rounds. Gave him blood clots. And like, it was like a total disaster.
That's funny.
But it made so much money for like Vince McMahon Sr., that was one of his big things, was he promoted the fight in the United States on closed circuit. They even filled, they had 38,000 people in Shea Stadium just to watch something on television that was happening in Japan.
That's what a big deal was.
Yeah, that's how big of a deal it was. Shea Stadium, man. Like, Vince McMahon, well, I guess now he's done stadium, but for a while he couldn't replicate that. Anyways, so this book goes into that. So he had his two students, and at a certain point, they realized that Antonio Inoki realized that he wasn't, there was only room for one of them. So he, at a certain point, Ricky Dozan actually got killed by the Yakuza because he got into some shady dealings. Wow. And then that federation went into like a tailspin after that. So Antonio Inoki started New Japan. And Giant Baba, these guys were like best friends, tag partners, they trained together, formed All Japan, and they kind of went their separate ways.
Huh.
And every once in a while though, unlike in America, cross promotional stuff happened more frequently in Japan because it was such a big business. It was right. a no-brainer because, again, wrestling in Japan was so big and there was so much money that when they did combine, it was like, let's make all the money.
Right.
And they would. They would sell out, like, the – yeah, like, Inoki got $4 million in the 70s dollars for that fight. Like,
wait. Yeah. Steven, wait. I do – Steve says, I do, Phil.
I do what?
What do you do? I missed that when you said that. In
I missed
the chat
that too.
Here.
You talking about with a knife?
No, I think this was later.
Are you a naked knife man? Wait, what is that? What we call it? Naked knife man.
Yeah. Naked knife man. All right, we'll see what
it is. So it's this pretty interesting. And then all the ups and downs that they've had. Like again, in Inoki wasn't without his scandals. He had a. Supplement company.
Oh, he knows about the fight. Oh, yes. Well, of course you do.
So he had a supplement company in Brazil that he basically like was losing all kinds of money, and he basically what is that called? Smuggling money.
Like laundered?
No. When you siphon money, corporate.
I don't know.
Smuggle money.
Something.
Anyway,
embezzled. Ah, okay.
So he embezzled money from New Japan into this other company,
huh.
And then it caused this whole big scandal.
Okay.
But he survived that, and his company has survived a lot of. It survived where because he's always been very obsessed with MMA and wanting to legitimize, because I've talked about this before, where Japanese wrestling, it's way more like strong. It's called strong style, like. It's very hard hitting,
right.
More realistic, treated as a sport, covered in the newspaper,
right.
Like that kind of stuff. So one of the things that he tried to do, especially that almost to the detriment of the company in the early 2000s, was he would have his wrestlers wrestle in shoot fights and MMA matches, and not all wrestlers can do that. And again, wrestling is a whole, professional wrestling is a different thing, even in Japan, and it ruined and cut short some of the wrestlers' careers.
Wow.
Because it's hard to sell out a 50,000 people, Tokyo Dome or whatever when your main event wrestler lost to an MMA fighter in 45 seconds because he's not an MMA fighter. Some of them did. My favorite wrestler, Shinsuke Nakamura, had a rather successful MMA career,
huh.
in judo and those kind of fights because his style is based in, and a lot of these Japanese wrestlers way more so than American wrestlers are trained way more in a grounded fighting style.
Right.
Whereas they're not
flipping people with their crotches.
I mean, they're doing that kind of. That did happen in Japan. that's DDT wrestling, though. That's the same. I don't know if you ever saw that video. So I showed Phil this video. You might have seen it this week. It was, speaking of wrestling, one of our favorite wrestlers, friend of Matt and Brendo's wrestling show, Joey Ryan himself, went viral, including the Soup clip of the week. DDT wrestling. It's an indie promotion in Japan, much smaller than New Japan. They have some New Japan wrestlers though that wrestle in DDT. And Joey Ryan, making his debut in Japan recently, but he started wrestling for DDT, and he's always kind of been a bit of an entertaining gimmick. And there is a guy in DDT, and you might have seen clips from DDT before. Kenny Omega wrestled for a while, their champion was a dummy. was a blow up doll.
Okay.
And there's a very popular internet video of Kenny Omega, and it was champion. Like these guys are so good that they make it look like they're getting beat by this blow up doll. So that's the same. They had a championship match in a playground. Like they do all kinds of goofy stuff. So they have a wrestler who tends to provoke the wrestlers, his opponents. He will grab their crotches. He will do kinds of things. So he tried to grab Joey Ryan's crotch, and Joey Ryan countered it and flipped him with his penis.
With penis power alone.
And in the context, I think, because some wrestling fans are like, "Oh, it's ruining wrestling. It's making it look stupid." I'm like, in the context, it worked. Like, I feel like it's not. That's not something he's gonna do on. Like, they're like, "Oh, he can never wrestle." I'm like, he doesn't do that other play. That's just something he's smart enough to know what works where, and he's there to entertain above everything. He's not like, and that's. I think that's part of the thing that makes pro wrestling unique is that it can be all those things. It can be many things, and
it can be silly,
and like, I like it when it's sometimes. I mean, like there's a time and a place. Anyways, so I'm reading Lion's Pride: History of New Japan Wrestling, and that's
good stuff.
Good stuff. It's really cool, and it's very in depth. And the guy that wrote it, he's I think he is an expat that lives in Japan full time, okay. And he's just very into the history, and there is a lot of history, and then how it's kind of it's really cool. And it's a good book. It's called Lion's Pride. And if you're interested, it's on Amazon. And sounds like you are moving along.
Well, yeah. Now, again, this was, you know how it is with me leading up to Blue Christmas. I get very focused and stuff.
So you finished
Henry Beezus now. This is the second one. Really good. A lot of it deals with the bike.
Yeah.
You know, the quest to get a bike and all that.
Well, I love
stuff.
Like, she picks out the bike in the bike auction, and like Ramona's flipping out, and
Ramona has a lot of really good stuff in
Ramona this. Ramona is like the perfect foil for Henry.
Oh, I love like the game that they convince her to do is like waiting for the bus, where she just sits there and like pretends she's waiting for a bus. Oh, it's great. And the whole gumball story was really good, too.
Henry and Ribsy has my favorite Ramona thing.
Okay. Well, I just barely started Henry and
Ribsy. So you didn't get to Ramona and the PTA.
No, not done that
yet. It's my favorite
All right.
Ramona thing that there is.
I'll probably be plowing through these pretty quickly to get caught up so we can We can start the
Harry Potter time.
Harry Potter.
It's time. It's time. It's Harry Potter time.
So, Harry Potter time. And then we're almost done with the Borrowers now.
Yeah, Audrey was talking about it.
Yeah.
She really likes it.
Well, now, it's so funny. I've talked before about how when we were reading Sideways Stories from Wayside School, Luke played that, you know, at school. He would tell the kids about it and they'd reenact it and stuff. Then we read How to Eat Fried Worms. Well, now he's telling them all the Borrower stuff and they're pretending at school about playing Borrowers.
I think that's so cool that, like, Luke is like this, like, storyteller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the kids will be like, tell us what happened. What happened in the chapters you read now? And he'll, like, tell them about, like, and I'm just, like, listening, you know, just kind of hanging out by the playground at the side and listening to what they're saying. And, oh, tell us about this. It's like, well, this time, you know, the kid came and they found the where the tiny people live. And, oh, that's great. Let's play that. And, I don't know, it's fun. And because
it sounds like before I read the Chronicles of Prydain, my friend Tim had read them, and we used to play that, like, all the time. And I didn't even know what we were, like, he would tell us things.
Right, right.
And then we would play it. I guess that is a thing.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, it's cool.
And all because you read books.
Right.
Like, that's where reading books can open up a whole world, you know?
Well, there's no question, because, you know, he's only five. And this one is definitely written at a more advanced level, but he obviously understands what's going on. I mean, he can reenact it, you know, scene for scene, so.
Well, like I said, like, I mean, you gotta prepare yourself, because I think about, like, my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, and they basically, like, the younger kid is always trying to keep up.
Yeah.
And they usually end up being smarter than the older siblings. So if Audrey's seven is reading at a 12th grade level, which she is.
Yep.
Think about like where Luke is at now and where he's gonna be.
Yeah, he's already, you know, he's in pre-kindergarten and he's, you know, reading lots of sight words. He's already like recognizing, you know, simple stuff. He's reading like simple books and, you know, it's by the time he gets to kindergarten, you know, all bets are off. So it's fun. I love because, you know, I've been reading to the kids since they were born, but it's finally where I get to read books that are a little more fun. I mean, there's some fun picture books and stuff, but.
But after a while.
Yeah, after a while, you're like, oh.
Because I read with your kids quite a bit, and after a while, you're just like,
Yes. Okay. And we still read some of those, you know, but it's fun to do the big chapter books with them because they love it. And they, like, that's like the worst punishment for them if I'm like, we don't, you know, you guys aren't being
well,
good.
Well, I've seen Audrey.
We don't get to have a nighttime.
God forbid you take her book away now. Like,
yeah, it's, I mean, that's like the worst punishment you can do.
Like when we try to, cause like she, at the table, that's all she wants to do. And you try and get her to just like, okay.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah.
I'm reading. I just want to finish this chapter.
And I remember being that, like being there. So like, I get it. But it's awesome that like, I don't know. Doesn't that make you feel good that like.
Yeah. I mean,
like, you know, your kid's not an idiot. Like that makes you feel good.
It does.
Cause I always feel like. I'd be like, what if your kid, like, you know you love your kid unconditionally, but, like, sometimes it's gotta be, like, if your kid's just not as, like...
Well, I don't know, I mean, I take...
I'm not saying, like, your kid, like, they're dumb kids, but, like, if your kid's just not, I mean, I don't know, your kids are just always, like, what's gonna happen when your kid finally does, like, not...
I mean, that's fine, it's not... It's not like I look at it and go, oh man, like I'm more happy with them because they're doing well. For me, it's, if anything, it's just, you know, cause Janelle and I decided like we're gonna read to them every single day. And it worked.
And it worked. And you can see it. And like, I think, and like our parents, both of, I mean, we've told these, so both of our sets of parents made a conscious decision and it obviously worked with us.
They read and they read to us. And I think, and part of it is important is that they see you reading because if they think
and
it's fun for you,
and I know you're, I mean, because you're Audrey and Luke's, we're always talking about books or reading books or
books everywhere. Go to bookstores,
go to bookstores. So, like, I think, and it's that stuff. It's not that hard to do that stuff. Right.
Because I've had people ask, like, well, how do you get your kids into books? I'm like, you have to actually, you have to do it with them.
And a lot of people don't read.
They don't. They don't read on for themselves, which is, I mean, it's, I can't imagine, like, you know, it's hard.
Whenever,
I know some people don't have
it's
that.
It's reading, I mean, I've seen, like, because my friend's mom was a librarian, so she's way into, like, all the statistics about reading, and it's very disheartening. Like, the percentage of adults in America that, like, don't read books after they graduate college or high school is staggering.
Yeah.
And it makes me, like, feel like, am I that much of a weirdo? Like...
No, well, but again, like, in order to get the next... to keep the next generation interested, you have to model that, like...
Because it is. It's hard. And that's the number one thing, like, I feel like... as a generation, we can pass on to the next generation. And I feel like, we've all seen Idiocracy. This is how it happens.
It also is worth pointing out that like reading anything is good. Like, I mean, comics are great, you know, it's not like you have to be reading Moby Dick to your kids
Anything. And also just like, I mean, even just like having normal conversations with your kids. Cause I see the way some people talk to their kids that they're not actually, and I'm like, I don't know, like you can have, think about when you were a kid, didn't you hate it? Like that adults never talked. So it's like.
See, my parents didn't do that,
I feel like we were both very lucky.
Yeah.
And, but like I've seen the way parents, and then also the way I was talked to by some other adults, and like that's, it's insulting and cause you would think, cause all you have to do is remember when you were like 6, 7.
Right.
Like you always hated that, but adults keep doing it because it's like some weird thing. Like, like you don't treat them
and I think because of that, it happens to you. I've seen it happen to you and it happens to me all the time. Like when you're out and about, like kids gravitate towards you because, you know, like we take the kids to the playground and the kids will just like be talking to us, like, or wherever, you know, like kids, oh, look, check this out. Partly probably because we're adults that dress in like shorts and t-shirts and stuff all the time. But also I think just because you recognize them as human beings.
Yeah, as fellow humans. And it's not that hard to do. Like,
and I think they value that. They see that you're treating them like, you know, like an equal, like another person.
Well, and I remember being a kid and that's all I ever wanted from adults.
Yeah.
And rarely got that.
Yeah.
So like, when I am around kids, I try to remember that because there is part of me that does want to be like, oh, this is kids. But then I'm like, no, like that's not true. And like, and I feel like that's the greatest disservice that we do to children is not giving them the respect that they deserve, or just like
one. Well, and I think we underestimate their capabilities. Oh yeah, totally underestimating. You know?
And it, but again, as I say, like we were kids, so why can't everybody remember what it was like? Yeah. And like when you do sit down, when I tell people, I'm like, think about what it was like, because that was always a thing when I was talking to like youth leaders or anything. I'm like, think about what it was like, because like they're always like, I remember I got asked a lot, like, because I had a way with like junior high and high schoolers. Mm-hmm. So like, why? And I'm like, I just remember what it was like when I was in junior high and high school, and then I like it's really easy for me to like, because like we like I remember being there and feeling the way that I did feel, and like, and again, that's, and the, and then that's where you get that. Bring it back to Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
The reason why Freaks and Geeks is so genuine is because all those stories are real stories. Like, and you, if you have the script books especially, they have all the notes from their jam where they say, where Paul Feig would just ask people, what was it like for you in high school?
Right.
And that's all you have to do is like think about that. And then you can create legitimate, genuine things. And that's also how you can relate to kids. I mean, like.
Well, just, you know, again, talking to them like they're real people and listening to them like they're real people. And it's hard. It's sometimes it's hard to like, you know, cause kids do, even like smart and mature kids like to do stuff that's boring to adults sometimes, but showing them that you like value that what they've created or what they've come up with or their ideas and thoughts, like that's huge, you know, like, and it's not always easy to do, but it's so worth it. So I don't know how this parenting and kids in the future and all that stuff, but
what was that going to be called with you and like Mark Benview?
Oh yeah, the Benview Parent Benview Corner or parenting something. He had a great name for it and I forget Benview, so babies. Remind us, Mark. Benview Babies, I think that's what it was. Well, there you go. That's our segment for that time. Because
Benview Dads,
read to your kids every day and talk to them like they're adults. People would always give me a hard time. Not everybody, but people, like, they'd hear me talk to the kids, and I still do, like, talk to them about big concepts. Don't dumb it down, like, because then they might not get everything, but it's amazing what they soak up and what they remember, and what they understand, like.
Well, like, Phil, you and I will be talking, and then Audrey will ask us, like, very specific questions. Right.
Or contribute thoughts and ideas that are, like, you know, relevant and way beyond what you might think that they would have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems silly sometimes, but talking to them and explaining things to them for real is, it's worth it.
Yeah. Cause then it's cool when I know, especially cause I've seen this happen where you have taught your kids something and then they're in class and they say things and they impress adults.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you guys talked about.
Here's an interesting one. This is, kind of briefly touch on what we were talking about before the show, but without being too crazy. But the kids were asking me the other day cause we watched The Good Dinosaur and they were like, and I don't remember how the conversation went exactly, but they asked, like, they're all, did people live at the same time as dinosaurs? Dinosaurs were, like, you know, because they had the people with the dinosaurs, and was it millions of years ago? But then they had heard, like, it was not that long ago. Did dinosaurs die out beforehand? Blah, blah. So we had just, like, this real conversation. We talked about, like, this is what this group of people thinks, and this is what this group of people, and, you know, and I shared with you, like, really, nobody knows for sure exactly. Like, you know, there's probably some things that are more knowable than others, but nobody has the exact answer. We know it was a long time ago, and it's really fun to talk about it. But what's most important is that we don't get upset about it. People can think different things, and people can, this group might think that 6,000 years ago were dinosaurs, and this one might think 6 billion years ago. And as long as we can have a respectful conversation about it, that's okay. We can have differing opinions. Gosh, I hope my kids like can take that into adulthood, you know, like rather than getting hooked on this is what we believe. And if someone says differently, they're your enemy. Say like, man, have that conversation, talk about things and make up your own mind. You figure it out because nobody really knows exactly. Everybody's got opinions. And,
well, it's good to form your own opinion based on the information that you have.
Go
available.
Out and find that information because
see what the information says and then form your own opinion.
Right.
And then somebody might disagree with you and you should, and just acknowledge their.
Yeah. Respect them. You don't have to agree with everyone. Everybody just get along.
Everybody chill out, man.
Yeah.
That's my biggest.
That's thing. As far as we should go into that subject, but.
Everybody chill.
Everybody chill. chill. All right. That's the Benview Babies / Everybody Be Cool to Each Other section.
Yep. All right, so we've already talked about...
We talked about the music stuff quite a bit already, yes.
No new movies?
No new movies. It's been a crazy week, but a good week.
So WWE Network's been good. WWE Network, holy crap.
Okay.
What a great time to not have a lot to do, because they have added... It only took them like over almost 2 years into WWE Network, but they finally added and like all the classic stuff that I would assume was going to be there from the beginning. They added NWA, like old school, like early 1980s NWA. They added like Georgia Championship Wrestling, AWA, which was like on ESPN in the 80s. And it's cool seeing some of those old, like, guys that became bigger stars later on down the line. And then just legends that I'd only heard about getting to see them in there. And, like, the original programming. And I guess, because judging, like, seeing it, I guess the reason why it's taken so long is, one, they've done some remastering. Because they are working off of old videotapes. But they made it look as good as possible. And then also the biggest thing was overdubbing music, because in the day, their music, like, it was a kind of wild. So, like, guys were coming out to, like one of them, they were like, and here he comes to Another One Bites the Dust. But it was overdubbed with some generic.
Right.
But that takes a lot of work to do that. So I think that's what's taken so long. So there's AWA, NWA, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which I had never seen before ever, because it only aired in Kentucky and, like, the Carolinas. And that was in, like, the early 90s. This promoter, Jim Cornette, teamed up with, who I talked about earlier, music producer Rick Rubin, who is a huge... So he got this idea in his head that he wanted to start back. He was a silent partner, but he was the money. He provided all the money for this promotion. And it was like basically like 80s Southern-style wrestling in the mid-90s. And they broke a lot of big wrestlers, but... I don't think it was ever gonna work, because outside of that immediate area,
right,
in the South, and it never caught on the way they wanted it to. But it's still really fun to watch now, especially since I'd only heard things and seen clips about it, and it's definitely fun to watch. And there's some of the bad is really bad, but the good is really good, and it's entertaining, so it's cool watching all that. And stuff that I hadn't watched since I was a little kid, like watching like WCW, because this WCW and NWA was on TBS.
Right.
So like as soon as I had cable, I watched that all, because it was on for like, I remember Saturday night, it was on that, in that slot, they had that for like 30 years. And it was like, it was like 2 hours. So like, and then they had at a certain point, NWA was on Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays on TBS. So, like, I watched so much of that, like, as a kid. And so it's cool watching a lot of that again. And it's exciting. Great. And then New Japan World, I briefly talked about this last week, but I didn't realize there was the World Tag League going on, which was, like, their big round-robin tournament. And luckily... Cause I went back on and there was like 10 shows and I was like, oh no, like how am I going to catch up? And then I noticed that only a couple of the shows were the full card, and then the other ones, it's just the tournament matches.
Okay.
And one of the guys already got hurt. So there's some of them, there's only two on one day. There's only two matches because the third match got thrown out.
Okay.
And then, so I'm caught up on that. And the finals, I think, are tomorrow, Japan time. So they'll probably be up. So Monday night in Japan. Wait, so it's probably already happened.
Right now.
And no, is it Monday? Maybe it's tomorrow. But Wrestle Kingdom. Anyways, so I'm excited. World Tag League. There's some cool guys from some cool American guys that haven't wrestled in Japan before, all in a long time. So cool seeing some of those guys, and seeing some guys that I have seen like wrestle, like, and then seeing them in Japan is cool.
That's cool.
Like, I don't know, It's like the whole indie, watching some of this like non-WWE wrestling, it's like being like into music where it's like, oh, I saw these guys and you can watch them like.
Now they're just, huge.
Now they're huge. So it's all, that's that excitement.
Right. I liked them before, it was cool.
See, I don't try to be a hipster about it.
I know.
But it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also kind of hipster about
it.
Scream Queens, man, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. I think we're about to get every time I think I know who it is, like, at this point I feel like it's gonna be some big swerve.
You think they're gonna cheat?
I don't know what they're gonna do.
Alright.
Still, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's either gonna be a total out of left field or it's gonna be like, the main character, and I don't know which one. I don't know what I've been watching so much. Now 2-0, it's kind of obscene.
So you're like ahead of
I am the plays now. I am now one full season ahead of Lizzie and Cat.
Well, you're gonna have to like go back and watch them like
again, as they go through maybe again. I don't know, but it's just Now 2-0 is this level of like. I actually genuinely love the show, and then there's also this hyper nostalgia because I remember what was going on in my life when I was watching, especially these seasons, because like these ones were when I was like season three was when I was in seventh grade, season four was when I was in eighth grade, and like that was like again like a huge time in my life,
right?
And just a lot of stuff going on, and so it all kind of comes boiling back up and in a lot of different ways, and it's just, it's really cool. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. we briefly mentioned.
Caught up on
holy
that.
Holy crap.
So good. A little spoiler if you haven't watched
super,
it.
Super, like, shock intro this week.
Yes.
Just really surprising. And then
the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers.
Lots of big cliffhangers. Stuff's going down, man.
Oh. And the Inhuman team is finally mobilizing.
Yeah.
They didn't really get to see much of that yet.
There's a lot going on.
Oh,
it's exciting.
It's good. I love it.
The Goldbergs. Are you caught up on Goldbergs?
I'm not. I'm almost caught up. I'm like
probably But you've five watched or six. Some of the new season?
Yeah, I'm like probably five
so
or
six. So what are your thoughts on
I think it's great.
The
I
puberty mean, stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell. Like,
but I like that they're not skirting around it.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
And it's part of the show.
I feel like as the season's going on, he's grown into his voice more. I think they might have played it up a bit at first to draw attention to it so that now you don't mind it so much.
Okay, but so we have to talk about this. So the last episode was what was the last episode? Well, I just watched this week's episode. It was really good. The smothering stuff in these, like, I feel like this season 2 and 3, it's just gone to this like level of like, oh my god.
I loved the one too, like that with the mustache one.
Yes.
Where she smothers the best friend, the dad's friend. And
yeah.
Oh man, the Magnum mustaches. That was great.
Cause that was totally a thing.
Oh yeah. Well, my dad still has his mustache, you know.
Did he start it with Magnum?
I don't know, but my mom has told him like that he, that was like, you know, cause my dad's Italian dude.
Yeah. And
he has like the Magnum mustache.
Oh yeah.
And my mom does not. Like, he shaved it off one time, I want to say when I was in college maybe, for like a week, and my mom made him grow it back. No, I want the mustache. So, then there's a little while when he was doing like a beard kind of thing, you know, beard mustache combo, and she was just okay with that, but. I watched The Princess Bride one.
So how amazing was that?
It was great.
When it went in the fencing direction, which is very true to your life.
Yeah, that's basically how the fencing coach / teacher, that's like how he coaxed me into, was like sword fighting, like, you know, Princess Bride. And I mean, that was the movie. Like, I think the first class, I want to say, or one of the first ones, he like showed us that clip again, you know, and I mean, I'd seen the movie, but just like to hype us up and like, we watched like, the old Errol Flynn movies and stuff, and he would show us stuff. And
I just love so much that it's not just the like super popular stuff that the Goldbergs, they touch everything.
Oh yeah.
They had a freaking Troop Beverly Hills episode.
Did you watch that one yet?
Oh dude.
No, I'm not quite there.
It's so good.
But one thing I want to point about the fencing one is funny. I mean, obviously it's a half an hour sitcom, so they couldn't go into it too much. But you don't jump into a fencing class and start like sparring someone
immediately.
Like for us, I don't think you have to face off against someone for weeks. You know, you have to go through the basics, learn the different moves, and I mean, you know, the names of all the things and the techniques and
pirouette.
You know, and then he would like that's like.
Repost.
Yeah, pirouette is that.
No, pirouette is ballet. But
like, I mean, you know, then you would go and practice one, two, you know, practice like rehearsed ones, and then finally, like, you'd get a chance to, you know, spar a little bit. But, you know, the way they showed it in there, like, immediately they're just competing, and that's.
But I love that he just immediately is like, ah!
Well, and it's true. It really does hurt. I mean, it stings, you know, but you get to hit each other with swords, so it's awesome. It's worth it. But, it was great, though. The whole, I'm just him reenacting the, hello, my name is the whole scene. Yeah. Like they,
what are you doing?
Oh, that's great. Stop saying that.
Did you ever try that during your?
Oh, yes, there were many reenactments of,
but things. I knew like when I was watching, I was like, oh my gosh, Phil's going to flip out.
Because well, I talked about that on the show.
That's where you saw how excited, that's why you can tell now why I was so excited.
Oh.
Cause I was like, oh my gosh.
It's right out of the movie. And right out of real life. Yeah.
Because you were a fencer, which is still, like, it's the closest, like, just knowing you, like, I don't think people realize, like, how big a deal it is that you actually did some kind organized of sport.
Yeah.
Like, the only other thing that I've ever seen you remotely sport is, like, frisbee golf.
Yeah, that's true.
And shoe
and
golf.
Swimming, but I never did, like, as a sport. I was a lifeguard.
Yeah.
But definitely not as a sport.
But fencing, man.
Yeah. It wasn't like an official high school team, you know.
It's like a club.
Yeah, it was like a club. We did like paid classes, and then we would meet and stuff.
Did the basketball team take over like in Rushmore?
No, well, we did practice in a gym for a while.
Yeah,
actually, at that church in the gym, like, but not where we were, but like in the gym there.
Cool.
I think you rented it out from them. Because there's not a lot of facilities in Big Bear to do stuff in, you know.
Yeah.
Very limited options, especially back then, so.
Yeah, Goldberg's has been really great.
Yeah, it's great. I got Janelle watching it, too, now.
I don't see why she wouldn't like it.
Oh, definitely.
Any 80s kid, I mean, it just hits it so hard. Just, again, as I've said this so many times, just their house. Just seeing their house is, like, just a total trip. Like, cause again, it's not like that 80s show, like, just ridiculous. The, like, broad strokes. Like, it's real.
It's a little more stylized than, like, Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Freaks and Geeks is still the most real thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That, but, it's just this side of it.
And I love the I mean, the music is so.
The music's great. Well, the characters, I mean, coming from a lot of real life stuff, you can tell. I mean, I know not everything happened, but you, just some of it
blew my mind when you told me that Erica is actually Eric.
And Eric, which is cool. Because you notice you never see, like, video of Erica in the end because it wasn't real.
And also, I was like, I think there's another brother in there, and sure enough, there is.
Yeah, but it's really good.
And then just seeing again, like I think that's also part is like seeing the videos because that also
I love how they're always
the
like
videos,
irritated with Adam because
that's like everybody's videos.
Yeah. Like stop recording.
It's just very nostalgic of our because now video is such a common part of our everyday life. Like I don't think kids or young like don't realize like what video was like then, and that kind of gives you an idea. Like that's every home movie from like 1980, like
my
the
mom
80s.
Was like, don't record, stop recording me,
and then just recording yourself doing really stupid stuff.
Oh, I have so many videos of us doing like fake commercials.
Did you ever sing Wham songs?
Did not do that. No,
New Kids.
No, I'm not. The only music videos we did were like our own band's stuff. But we did a lot of fake commercials, though. Like, I remember our favorite one was, remember Nut and Honey?
Yeah.
But ours was Nut and Dummy. Which, eating raw, Nut and Dummy. Just stupid. I mean, that was the whole thing, but we thought that was, like, the best thing ever. We also made, there's this whole, like, series of stuff we did about bacon trucks. Like, just these commercials for, like, instead of ice cream trucks, bacon trucks that would go around and, like, sell bacon to people. This is before it was cool to talk about
Sounds
bacon, too.
Good.
I'm just saying. So we that It was very different. It is. And going back and looking at the way that we did home video back then.
You don't have all the fancy.
You don't, but also, we captured a lot of boring stuff back then. Like, you just set up a camera on a tripod and record for an hour, and you're like, oh my gosh. Even though it's fun, like, at first you're like, oh, this is great, this is me back then, and you're like, oh wow, we're doing nothing of interest for like an hour right now. So it's very different. Now everyone captures, you know, short bursts of stuff. And I think it's probably more entertaining.
South Park's been great.
Yeah.
I think they're almost done with their season arc, but it's been very entertaining.
People have been going on about that.
SNL, Ryan Gosling.
I watched a few of them.
Really good.
The alien one was definitely my favorite. The alien one is
one of the funniest sketches they've done in a long time. Kate McKinnon is just...
Yeah.
She's they were on fire. But she and then there were some funny ones. Did you see the... okay. First of all, have you seen the real... Those new Nescafe, like, commercials? Mm-hmm. So they're really weird with, like, George Clooney and these guys. So they made a new... They made a parody of one.
Okay.
And Bobby Moynihan was Danny DeVito. And it was really funny. And then...
I don't have to watch commercials anymore because we have the Hulu Plus...
Yeah.
Commercial that's free.
True. I actually only knew about them because people were talking about them on Facebook. Okay. So I looked them up.
Okay.
Because, again, I don't watch commercials anymore either. So that was funny. And then my other favorite sketch was it was Vanessa Bayer and Ryan Gosling, and they played this couple at a Halloween party that they were, like, in their 30s, but they still believed in Santa. So, like, the parents are like, oh, yeah, Santa might come for the kids. And Ryan Gosling just starts – they're like, Santa? Santa's here? How did you get him here? And, like, people are just – and then they end up holding everybody hostage until, like, Santa comes. It's just – it's really, really funny. And I think Ryan Gosling did a good job. And Michael Myers was there. Yeah.
He was at first he seemed very nervous.
Yeah. Well, he hadn't been on the show. We haven't seen him in a while.
No, I mean Ryan Gosling, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like during the opening monologue. He did good. But you could just tell, like, there was some nerves. But I think he kind of got into the swing of things.
You never know with people.
Yeah. It was a very different beast.
Last Man on Earth, holy crap.
Yes.
The Christmas episode was great. The Secret Santa.
Oh my gosh, Secret and Carol. Santa was so
what did
funny.
She call, like, what did she do to Melissa's bedroom? Frosty's domain or something.
So this is where Frosty comes.
Yeah, and like she had like just
didn't think.
And then the shoes everywhere. She gave to Melissa.
Yes.
I don't know, I think I'm back on the Melissa.
Yeah, well now.
She seemed to really.
They're playing with your like emotions about her because now she.
What if they kill her?
Well, of course they're going to. People are going to die.
No. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know. But, no, it was a really good episode.
They're just all so... Like, gosh. Kristen Schaal is just...
She's amazing.
So funny. And then, like, when Tandy jumped out of the tree, like...
Yeah, I know.
Just all the funny stuff. And just all the, like, he stole the Hope Diamond.
I know.
And all their presents. Oh, when he got Pitbull's, yacht, and they're like, we're going to have parties on there? He's like, not exactly. And then he has a remote control, and he blows it up.
Just to blow it
but
up.
But if I don't know, if I lived, I could totally would be doing stuff like that.
Well, I love, too, that...
what is Todd? He gets her the ZZ Top car.
No, the whole bit where Phil
and Erica Erica gave Carol J-Lo's green dress.
Yeah, the dress. The whole bit where Phil's like, you know, there's one person that always believed in me, and like Tandy thinks it's him.
He's like
yes, he's like coming up to accept like this.
I want to thank God.
He's like, and then Will Forte has like become like he's getting crazier and crazier. Just his little like twitches, like talking to himself, like
and
it's just
Jason
masterful.
Sudeikis like by himself.
Oh, he's so good.
It's really
Nat
that whole storyline. Like I do not.
Now,
how
what?
Is he going to get to Earth?
January? We don't get to know until January now.
I don't want to know.
Not fair. Amazing though. Very very good.
All right. Well, then I watched some Amazon stuff. I forgot to put it on here. I watched this weird Charles Manson thing.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that.
Just because I've been kind of obsessed with it since I've been way into the Beach Boys. And as we all, if you may or may not know, Dennis Wilson befriended Charles Manson. And that was introduced Dennis Wilson is the connection between Charles Manson and Melcher, who that's how he ended up at the Tate house, and that all went down. So it is kind of crazy. I just, that whole story is both insane and fascinating and really weird. But anyway, so I watched that, and the documentary itself wasn't, it just kind of went all over the place, and I don't know what they were trying to say, but it was just, it was, there was some cool Beach Boys footage and some cool just footage that I'd never seen before. And they did have like his interviews in prison, which are genuinely just like pretty terrifying. Yeah.
And also just like the Ben Stiller
show. And just like the Ben Stiller show. But like when it's real, it's a little bit less funny. Because it's just very terrifying. And some of the, I don't know, it's weird. Because then they interview some of the other Manson family, and those people are psycho. Like, really disturbed. Because they're not as, like... Because Charles Manson, you look at him, you're like, this guy's just, nutcase. Yeah. But some of the other Manson family, you're like, oh, this guy looks normal. And then they start talking, you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know. Just seeing genuine crazy people, it does... It's a little bit more reaffirming. So, like, oh, maybe I'm not... Right. This is what real...
A little stress. There's a big difference.
But anyways, but then they have these other, they have another documentary. They don't, there's a part one, which is 1961 through 1968.
Okay.
That one's not on Amazon Prime because I look for it, but it's called, but this one is called Brian Wilson Songwriter 1969 to 1982. And it's a very, in, it's like 3 hours long. I've only watched like half of it, and it goes year by year in his career. And as you know, this was the kind of the downturn.
Right.
Like, so it goes through Pet Sounds, Good Vibrations, and then Smile. And then that's where everything kind of went downhill for Brian. Yeah. And, but they interview everybody. Huh. Like, they, in like, it's got, like, some of the Wrecking Crew, some of, like, other musicians of the time. The, one of the engineers from, what's the, what was the studio called? Gold Standard or, the Gold Studio, but the main engineer, they interview him extensively, and he just talks about Brian's genius and just, and then also just his struggle with keeping, and then just how, and it did, like, everything I said about that Beach Boys concert, it reaffirmed everything I said, because you can tell, like, after Smile, when, and then the more so even, like, just talking about, so it's crazy, so Smile didn't happen, but then they would basically, like, every time they had this new albums they had to put out contractually, and contractually, Brian Wilson, like, part of the contract was they had to have a certain amount of songs from Brian Wilson, because even Capitol knew that Brian's songs were where the money was, and that's what also caused Brian Wilson's mental breakdown, because he was under so much pressure when that's not what he wanted to do. But so what they would do is, at a certain point, like, especially on, like, the post-Smiley Smile albums, up through, because he actually worked a lot on, like, Sunflower, and then I think the one after Sunflower, like, there's a lot of Brian in those. But then other times, they would basically pull tracks out of the Smile sessions and kind of clean them up and cut them, paste, and they would release. Because so all throughout the 70s, there are just these, like, you people would be blown away by these random Beach Boys, but that was because they're pulls from the Smile tracks, and just that was a thing that they would do just because they had to have Brian doing stuff, and those were, that was what they had. And then every once in a while, Brian, so, like, there was one single, like, their biggest single from the 70s, that basically they were trying to do it pulled from Smile tapes, and then, and Brian, you know, was upstairs in his bed, just, like, not leaving, but he got so frustrated listening to him mess it up, because the studio was in his house.
Right.
But he wasn't, he didn't leave his bedroom. Like, it just seems like such a crazy, horrible situation. And, but it got, he got so frustrated, he basically came out of his bedroom finally, is like, fine, let me do this. And he, but he can, he never stopped messing with it, and they finally just gave it to the record label, and it ended up being, like, one of their bigger hits of that later era. But it just, I don't know, it's pretty, just, it's both amazing and also heartbreaking to just watch and hear about. And there's also lots of interviews with Brian and very, because it was cold from like years of footage and stuff. And then
what's on that? This is on
Amazon Prime.
Oh, Amazon, okay.
Sweet. Brian Wilson songwriter series. And that was also where I first made the connection, because Mario, a while ago, had posted on Radio Brendo Man about Glenn Campbell and the Wrecking Crew, and I'd always thought, like, oh, that's funny, Glenn Campbell, it's the same name. And I didn't realize that it was the Glenn Campbell, because everybody knows, I mean, if you listen to music at any period, like, I mean, everybody's heard Rhinestone Cowboy, but, like, as if you've had any form of country in your house, like, which, coming from a lot of my family is from Texas, and and if you have any like people like and also if you have parents and stuff, like, he did like Glenn Campbell had the most, his TV show was just insanely like, I think that's one of those things, like, again, at the time it was like 70%
because there's only three things on TV
and,
so.
But anyways, so he, I think he's in a couple clips on this, and I was like, oh, so it is Glenn Campbell.
One of the same.
Because my mom, like, loved Glenn Campbell. My grandparents loved Glenn Campbell. Like, I mean, he's an American icon. So, and I didn't realize that it was the same Glenn Campbell. So that, once I watched that, well, anyways, we'll go into the next part.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sylvia.
Well, we talked about most of the ones I'd watched, but the only other one is we've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
And this most recent one, just had to mention, it was there's a really fun cameo of Neil deGrasse Tyson comes on.
Nice.
And it's worth watching. I mean, it's a really funny show. We've been enjoying it, but it's worth watching just for that one alone there.
Well, speaking of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and comedy power couples.
Okay.
I did not even know this.
Oh, yeah. I saw
Chelsea
that.
Peretti apparently has been dating Jordan Peele for years, and he recently proposed to her.
Yeah,
and I didn't even know that.
I did not. Did we talk about her, like, comedy special?
I watched
it a while back, but I think I forgot to put it on. It's weird and awesome.
Well, she comes from that, like, newer, I mean, she's best friends with Pete Holmes, and she kind of, and also, I mean, you see her on Kroll Show and stuff, well, and like,
because it's done like it's a live, like, stand-up special, and she does, like, jokes, but then she'll just, like, stop and stare in the audience, and then it edits it, and there's just, like, a stuffed, like, bear, like, staring back at her, and it's, like, this long, slow thing.
Do you ever see any?
Go back into telling
have you ever
again.
Seen Kristen Schaal's like stand up?
I don't think so.
Oh, dude, you should seek that out
because
she does a lot of funny, weird stuff like that too. Like, I feel like there's because like I really like Chelsea's great. Chelsea Peretti's great. Kristen Schaal, Maria Bamford, who has a show coming up on Netflix, because she's also very like
Just. And then it would have like. It was almost like Monty Python. It would cut to the audience, and there's like a guy in a scuba suit clapping and stuff. Like, just weird stuff. It's really good.
She's really funny.
Yeah.
And she's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. And she's really good in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I miss Kroll Show, like, so bad. Have you watched?
Well, we've been watching a little bit.
You started watching the last season?
Still have not. We're like this close to the end of season.
The last season, when everything starts crossing over with everything, is just so. And no, but you heard what they're doing, right?
What?
This is where I was trying. Okay, I'm gonna come clean here because I know I told you. Remember, I told you I was trying to get tickets to a Largo show, but then I lost my job. So the tickets that I was trying to get, they actually sold out before I was able to get them. So they were doing a Oh Hello live on Broadway.
What?
It's happening right now.
Oh my gosh.
And they did a rehearsal at Largo. And I tried to get his tickets. It's Oh Hello.
Like the whole thing?
In character, the entire thing, but it's a whole show.
Hello.
It's a Broadway live show, and they have guests on.
Oh
they
my
did,
gosh.
They did too much. They had some big celebrity on the Broadway show that they did too much tuna for, like live, like in person.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
So they were doing rehearsals at Largo, and I was trying to get us, I wanted to get us tickets.
That's so cool.
And I wasn't not able to.
That's okay. But that would be pretty awesome.
And but they only did two shows, and then they took it. It was right before they were going, so it was like their rehearsal shows. But
look
can
how
you
much
imagine?
Tuna you have that. That's way too much tuna.
Like I just and like so, but that's like the last season. The Oh Hello, like it crosses over with like they start crossover.
That's so great.
It's freaking insane.
It's so good. The last one that we watched, I can't remember what it was, but like. Janelle and I were laughing so hard we could not breathe. Like,
there's some like I still every once in a while I'll just be sitting.
I know which one it was. It's the one where the assistant for Liz and Liz gets her own spinoff.
Oh yeah,
and it's just him. Like it's Fat Dad, and the curse of whatever her name is, Melissa or whatever. And he just like bring me the sandwich, and then she has to like tempt him off the couch by holding the sandwich, and then he gets stuck on the table, and he's like trying to eat the sandwich, and we were just dying. Like it's just so.
I still every once in a while I'll just be sitting here and I'll just be like I don't want to go to bed.
Yep. Or get out. Get out.
LA. Deli.
LA.
Oh, that the LA Deli guy. Like he's one of the oh dude like that. Oh, it's just so good. Everything that show is hilarious.
I love too the switch from the San Diego diet to then the San Diego mindset. Oh my gosh, it's so weird and awesome.
Jenny Slate is amazing. She's so funny.
Niece to niece.
Niece. I'm gonna get my niece to niece.
Niece.
Hey. And just that character is so
weird.
Goofy. Like, it's like that voice that she does.
I can get Janelle now anytime, like if we're just out and about, I can always make her laugh. I'll just go like, that's amazing. It's amazing.
It's based off our
names.
Based
off our names.
I don't know. It's
a great show.
He's so funny.
Yeah.
At least he still comes on Comedy Bang Bang every once in a while, one of his characters.
Yeah.
Like Fabrice Fabrice.
Yeah.
Fabrice Fabrice. Like, oh, I love Comedy Bang Bang. I've still got new ones on that because they put all those new ones on.
Like new?
Season 4.
Okay, I've seen those.
Okay, I haven't watched all those.
Yeah. They're good. Of course. All right, what else did you watch? I gotta go to bed sometime.
No. So my big thing was I finally watched The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, we've been talking about this.
Because multiple times I've gone on Netflix with the intent of watching it and then got distracted with something
by
else.
Other stuff.
It's so weird. So The Wrecking Crew was incredible.
Yeah.
It's so good. And they really did do everything. I mean, like, there was a... So basically, the whole premise of it is the guitar player, Tommy Tedesco, like, he died a few years ago.
Okay.
And like, it's his son made this documentary while he was... He started making it while he was still alive because he realized, like, these guys... Nobody knows who they are, and everybody should know who these people are. Like, and... Because, I mean, they played on everything. They played with everybody. And, I mean, like, they are the Wall of Sound. They are the Beach Boys for many years. Yeah. Like, they are, like, the Monkees. They're, like, all those tons of bands. Like, they did, like, before Milli Vanilli was a thing, they did that for everybody. Like, if people only knew and, like, they finally did, like, finally, like, get the credit that they deserve. And they played on so much stuff and it's just, they all have such fascinating stories and they all did. And then, so Tommy Tedesco actually, his story is pretty amazing because once the session era ended, he was, some of these guys have really sad stories, like they lost all their money, this kind of went into obscurity. But some of these guys, like, for instance, Tommy Tedesco, the guitar player, he managed to transition into film scores, like, getting, like, work in. And he ended up playing on, like, every film score you've ever imagined. And it was the filmmaker's dad. So he actually, while Tommy was still alive, reunited the Wrecking Crew and started filming them just talking and telling all their stories. So this film, like, it's over the course of like 8 or 9 years. He was interviewing people because he also, thankfully, like, and this is where I really got connected to Glenn Campbell was he managed to interview Glenn Campbell quite extensively before he came down with Alzheimer's. And which led me into, so anyways, Wrecking Crew, awesome. You must watch it.
Also on Netflix.
Also on, it's on Netflix. It's really good. And then I'm pretty sure Mario mentioned this, but yeah, it came, it popped up like in the what to watch next.
Right.
So I went directly into it, and I'm just going to give you a caveat on everything I say here. Phil, if you watch this movie, you will bawl.
Really?
You will bawl so hard for the whole time. Because one, you are so Glenn Campbell, for anybody that doesn't know, I mean, Glenn Campbell, he wrote so he was part of the Wrecking Crew, and then, I mean, like, he's an amazing, phenomenal guitar player, which a lot of people don't know because, again, Wrecking Crew, nobody knew who they were. So my mom, like, a lot of people probably just know Glenn Campbell from his TV show. Yeah. He did some albums. He's a great vocalist, but
like, band like, leader type stuff, yeah, right?
But I mean, he did a lot of guitar stuff even on his show, but I don't know if people realize, but, like, he's probably the greatest session guitar player of all time and amazing, and he was just immensely popular in the 60s, 70s, even into the 80s. Huge icon of country, modern country music. Rockadoodle, pointed at Rockadoodle. but he was just, so he was part of the Wrecking Crew, and he actually, before David Marks became part of the Beach Boys, Glenn Campbell was Brian Wilson's fill-in on tour, and even in some of the live, some of the TV performances, you can see him
really
up there. But it was only for like a couple years before his solo career took off. And then David Marks kind of took his spot. So, but anyways, so he did a documentary. So basically what happened in 2011, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And he decided he didn't want to just go into the...
Softly into the night.
Yeah. And he wanted... He realized that he could do a lot of good as like a spokesperson. Because Alzheimer's... Like, I don't... One of the things that this documentary pointed out is like, we are approaching a crisis in our country that not a lot of people are talking about because... Currently, the number of people with Alzheimer's is in like the millions, but then if you figure with the amount of baby boomers approaching retirement age, it could, that number is going to, at the rate things are going, that number is going to explode. And that's going to be real bad, like real bad. Yeah. And because as far as like, as much as they know and don't know about Alzheimer's, it does, it's genetic, and so it's only gonna continue, and it's only gonna get worse, and it's a horrible thing. I mean, also, everybody knows somebody, like a family member, it's a horrible thing. And so Glenn Campbell, who after he was diagnosed, he had just recorded his, what he had decided was his final album, but he still needed to go on tour for the album. They kind of had this whole crisis where like, cause the label's like, look, we'll cancel everything. You don't have to, but they're like, but Glenn Campbell's like, no, I want to tour. I want to do this. And this is the part where again, I'm already just watching this guy, this amazing, and he, like, even from the onset, like, he doesn't, like, he'll forget who is his wife's name, his kids. But because, and this is where he's kind of, they've been doing a lot of research just on him,
right?
Because he, even when it was like a year in, he could still, like, the music part of his brain, even like usually, like in a lot of cases, like that kind of stuff is like the first thing to go,
right?
But with him, like, he wouldn't, like, even in the, you can see it in the movie, like, he won't know his wife's name, his kid's name, he won't know what's happening, but you give him that guitar and it's so ingrained in his brain and it's such a part of his every fiber of his being, and that he can just, he'll start playing, and it's crazy.
Wow.
Cause you're like, this guy doesn't know his wife's name. He didn't know where the bathroom was in his house, but he can play those songs, and he can sing, and he can just play guitar solos, and it's phenomenal. It's amazing to watch, but it's also, over the course of time, the shows start floundering, and like,
right.
It's, sometimes it's very difficult to watch.
Wow.
But that's part of it, is he wants that to be seen, and he goes to Washington and he talks to senators, he plays at the Library of Congress, and they have interviews with everybody, and that's where it's also kind of raising all this awareness, because like, it is this kind of thing that like, people don't talk about, but again, as it was brought up in this movie, like, we are approaching, like, this is gonna become a big, important thing, so they're trying to get money for research, and, you know, the money we're spending on research is so low compared to other things, and if we're really concerned about the future of our country and the future of our people, like, this is definitely something that needs to be addressed. But it's also just an amazing thing of him and his family, like, he has, so he's on his third marriage. Because, okay. You know, he's rock, you know, he's got his up and downs in life. And, but he has, with this wife, they have three children who are like, I think they're late teens, some of them like in their 20s. And they all play in his touring, his two sons and his daughter play in his touring band.
That's
and
cool.
It'll kill you, man.
I don't know if I can like, take this.
And then there's a part where his daughter writes and performs a song for him, and it's just,
I can't take
that. Oh dude, oh my god. And it's called I'll Remember, so like shit, it's the whole thing like I'll Remember You, and then I don't know if you've ever seen it's the last song he ever did, and it's called I Won't Miss You, and it's about having Alzheimer's, and that's why he won't miss his wife, because
he doesn't know.
And wow. You ever want to cry, just type that into YouTube. and he did that with the, and it also, so we were in the Wrecking Crew documentary, you can tell there's some tension between the Wrecking Crew and Glenn Campbell, because at a certain point in his career, he wanted to have his own band,
right.
Because like his first several records he did with the Wrecking Crew, and then he kind of went on his own way. And you can tell, like, most of them understand it, but there's a little bit of...
some feelings there.
But he did bring him back for that last song.
Huh.
Well, not all of them, but, like, the two main guys.
Okay.
That were still alive at the time, because some of them died. But...
I don't know. I've got to be in the right state of mind. You do,
but it's so good.
It sounds
good. It's so good, and it'll make you, like... because, like, you know, I'm not a huge... country fan, but like this is the kind of country I can get behind also, yeah. Because he is so talented, and even again he's like in his late 70s with Alzheimer's disease, and he's just improvising on the mic, and he's doing these shows, and it's his performance at the Grammys, and then hearing all these other people, and like watching, seeing like at the like backstage of Grammys, and Paul McCartney just comes up to him like telling how much, and I don't know, it's just beautiful. And and I'm like, I don't know, it's really cool that he was able to like go out on his own terms, and but it's also like a portrait of a man with Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
And it's painful.
It's tough, yeah.
And it's really emotional, and like how his family, and seeing him with his family, and I don't know. It's a lot. It was it took me two sessions, because I'm like, this is a lot to handle, and I know you will.
Yeah, that's how I'm already like emotional about it. And I haven't even seen it.
It's really good, but it's called Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me.
All right,
on Netflix.
Well, our only Netflix thing is we have watched, I think, probably like the first four episodes of Jessica Jones.
So good,
and it's really good.
Luke Cage, awesome.
Luke Cage is cool, and I think that Kristen Ritter is like really good. And a lot of good stuff in it. We were saying it's funny, like that it's like a like the as violent as Daredevil is. This one is like the sexy one,
yeah.
You know? Like oh no, wow, like Luke Cage, there's some intense scenes there, but it's really really good. And
David Tennant, man.
David Tennant's a really good creepy bad guy, like scary. And yeah, it's great. I mean, it's intense. And like you said earlier, like it gets, it's dark in different ways, but it's, I mean, it's really, really good. And I just imagining how this is going to tie in with Daredevil and like the whole like Defenders world. All like, I mean, I'm just.
Well, they announced the director for Iron Fist, so Iron Fist is happening. Iron Fist
is happening. I mean, that's just, I can't believe. I just, people don't even understand how much we have.
They don't.
It's wonderful.
If you're not watching these Netflix Marvel shows, though, I mean, you are missing out.
Yeah. And then that, but pair that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. Like, it's all just.
And Agent Carter's coming back. And
Agent Carter's
January.
Coming back. I saw that.
I'm super stoked.
Yes. So much good stuff.
And it's just going to be in L.A. I'm excited because we get old-timey Hollywood.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see the L.A. It's L.A.
I don't know, your continuing saga with Dottie and...
Yeah, oh, it's going to be good.
Because I know I've been following Bridget Regan on Twitter and she posted some cool-looking pictures. And
yeah.
And then seems like Doctor Strange is...
Yeah. Scott Derrickson's been posting all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Looking good. All right, what's next? I think video games?
Nothing has changed for me.
I haven't had time to play video games this week at all. I mean, occasionally Pokemon Shuffle on my... That's about it.
I've been playing mostly Clicker Heroes in this adventure capitalist
game. Oh, yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's good.
All right.
We should do it.
It's time. It's Marmaduke time.
All right. Let's do it here. What do we got today? All right. So, Marmaduke's falling asleep. This is me right now. This is funny. Dog's tired. So, he's looking sleepy and it says yawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so the family's sneaking by and tiptoes. Shh, don't wake up Marmaduke. Quiet. Yeah, the parents and the kids. Marmaduke's asleep on the ground. They're tiptoeing out to the car. Now we can go for a ride without Marmaduke. They sneak to the car. They're climbing in. Quiet. Shh, don't slam the doors. The whole family's getting in the car. They're all excited. Here we go. No Marmaduke to spoil our day, says the dad. And then... the daughter turns around, and they look in the back window, and there's a tail hanging down, and the daughter says, I wouldn't bet on that, Dad. Marmaduke woke up.
Yeah, That's not even that. That's nothing.
Marmaduke was asleep, and now he's not asleep.
And he's on the roof of the car.
On the roof. Is this like the hook? Like that? They're going to think it's the dog, and it's really...
Hanging on the roof was a tail.
There's just going to be Marmaduke's body swinging back and forth in the tail, brushing across. That's what it looks like.
Very disturbing turn on Marmaduke.
Marmaduke's getting dark. He's going to show him dead in the next one. That's it. I don't know. That doesn't really fit any of the categories. Marmaduke likes to go in the car?
Marmaduke.
Is that like a new category? Marmaduke is a light sleeper? The family hates having a dog, apparently.
Yeah, why do they want... half the comments are just like ways to get around Marmaduke. And I'm like, if you don't like him that much...
Yeah, why did you... That's a new category. The family hates Marmaduke.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good... I think that's a solid
category. There's quite a few of them trying to get away from him or being irritated by him.
So it's like, why... I want to know the story of like, did they get Marmaduke by accident? Yeah. Did he just show up?
They got a puppy and they didn't know it was going to get giant and now they hate it because
they didn't realize they had a Great Dane.
Yeah.
They thought it was a Little Dane.
Yeah, Little Dane. They just thought it meant like, oh, that's a great dog.
Yeah,
it's a
great. Dane. It's great.
That's great.
And,
but. Think about like the size.
Because obviously there's parts where they just don't want that dog. Yeah. Maybe in that time period, it was even more of a stigma to like give back a dog.
I guess no give backs. Yeah, no take backs.
There were no shelters that they could take him back to.
I don't know.
Or maybe if they did, it meant certain death. Marmaduke
put to sleep. Marmaduke
goes back to the shelter.
Marmaduke goes to a farm. What is it, the ranch?
Marmaduke goes to the dog farm. The mythical dog farm. And there's lots of dogs, and they'd be able to run.
They all live happily and free and roam the hillsides.
That's another way you could traumatize it, most kids.
Yeah.
You know that farm your parents said they took your dog to?
Doesn't exist.
That's not a farm! It's dead!
Your dog is dead.
Your cat's dead. Your dog's dead. Your hamster's definitely dead.
Why Marmaduke? Why?
Man.
I'm just trying to put myself in a mindset of reading that one Sunday morning.
Well, also, as we discovered, like, he had a big family, and, like, his children never have to work because of this stupid freaking...
Because of that tail that's dangling down.
Stupid. Because Marmaduke thinks he's people.
Yeah, Marmaduke wants to go for a ride.
Somebody is gonna...
But here's the thing, though. Now I'm trying to get myself inside the mind of, like, a dog lover, and they're like, my dog loves going in the car, too. That's hilarious. They always want to go on a drive with us.
I'm going to buy this book to show it to everybody.
Look, remember how our dog wants to go in the car? This dog does too.
Inside the mind of a Marmaduke reader.
That's got to be it. My dog doesn't like... We sneak around too so we don't wake up the dog.
My dog drives my car sometimes.
And it can talk.
And he has a TARDIS house.
Yeah. Yeah. It carries kids out of the trees. I don't know. Marmaduke. All right.
We got to watch that Marmaduke movie.
We do. We need to do that. That'll be like another bonus thing. Maybe after we get through like
Mark Bolton had pointed out on the Radio Brendoman group that there is a movie podcast that talked about it.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
And then, I don't know. I just thought that was funny talking to Todd Glass. He didn't seem very enthusiastic.
No, definitely not. Might have hit a little nerve there.
He's like, oh, these guys, these smart asses. Oh,
these are the guys that are going to ask me.
Bring up Marmaduke.
I did explain, though, that that's a thing we do on our show.
He was like, sure.
So I gave it context. He might have thought I was a liar. But I explained.
Hey, how could we not?
Dude, we had a guy
from the Marmaduke movie. We had to at least make an attempt.
He probably was like, what kind of show are you doing where you're reading Marmaduke at the end of your show?
So, we read Marmaduke and everything. Like, what?
You read what on your what?
This is a whatever. Bonus. At least we were better than that other guy.
Oh my gosh, anything was better than that. That guy. This is 197 episodes, so you guys, if you have ideas for our wager or our celebration, send it in.
Thank you so much. They're still listening
they still
for 197.
Are. I know.
That's 197 times however many hours of us talking about dumb crap like Marmaduke and Naked Knife Man.
Yeah, Naked Knife Man. No, that's one for the ages there. We still have to have Matthew come on one time
I gotta
and just reenact it. Because watching him do
I wanna
it.
Hear,
like,
I, we need to get both
we should
of them.
Have both on so they can tell it.
To talk about the Naked Knife
I
Man.
I told him, I'm like, I cannot tell it yet.
And it will be called Naked Knife Man Revisited.
Yes. Yes. Return of the Naked Knife Man. Oh, man. I can't imagine. Anyway, if you guys have ideas for our celebration, go ahead and send them in. Make sure you sign up for the...
sign up.
Gift exchange.
For the gift exchange if you haven't yet.
Good.
Go to RadioBrendo.com. Go to BenviewNetwork.com. Beyond the Shield.
Yes.
Podcast with Adam Wells.
And also, if... you want to get in on our reading, our book club, go to the book club link. We're going to soon
be
reading
Harry Potter.
Which I understand some people enjoy, so.
Just a few.
Some people.
It's just a small.
You know.
Small thing.
I'm sure it's fine.
It's just a small, little, tiny, little thing.
Just a bit.
That some people enjoy. Made a little bit of money.
I guess it did okay, right?
Can you imagine? I don't know. Can you imagine having Harry Potter money?
No. Can't imagine.
I can't imagine having Marmaduke money, let alone money. Harry Potter money.
Oh, man. Also,
some of these guys, man, like, I don't know. I feel like there was this time where you could just, like, think about Jim Davis and, like...
Yeah, but those early Garfield ones are legitimately funny.
Yeah, but then, like, Jim Davis got a portion of... Jim Davis got Google money because the whole Gmail thing.
Gmail.
Like, that's crazy.
That's... Yeah.
Should I patent Bmail now?
And just then, in case.
Just in case somebody...
Bmail. Yeah.
Because who would have thought Gmail? Yeah,
of all things.
And I just want to know, like, I love Garfield so much. I have a Gmail.
I want to know if someone actually had a Gmail account.
You know, people did.
Before, like, who?
They did, because that's why he had it.
But who?
Obviously, like, people that really love Garfield. I wonder if there was a Marmaduke mail.
M-mail. No.
Does Marmaduke have a website? I'm sure they do.
I'm sure it does.
I don't even want to know what that's like.
Don't give him any web traffic.
I feel. Are we being too mean?
It's really bad. It's bad. I think we're allowed to be a little mean.
The man...
We're nice about a lot of stuff.
He's dead.
That last joke was the dog wanted to go for a ride. That's essentially what we just read. Dogs like to go in a car. That's it.
Well, we found a new category.
Yeah, new category.
They hate Marmaduke.
Yeah, family hates Marmaduke. So that's good.
So at least we got that.
Yeah.
Naked Knife Man.
Well,
I feel like we need to come... We need to make that song.
The Naked Knife Man song.
I feel like it could be like the... Oh, you need to watch some Always, It's Always Sunny, because like the Dayman Nightman, because we could do like, because Nightman, there's a Dayman Nightman song, it's like Dayman, and it could be Knife Man, the Naked Knife Man.
I think we already did a whole entire song that Matthew's going to have to craft into a...
Naked Knife Man!
That's a good ringtone right there, the Naked Knife Man song.
Watch out for the Naked Knife Man.
Naked Knife Man, he's coming for you.
He comes out at night.
Don't come in after midnight.
Naked Knife Man will come and get you. Naked Knife Man, he's got a knife. He's naked. He's Knife Man. Naked Knife Man.
The guy, man.
I just can't believe... If your naked brother jumped out of you with a freaking hunting knife...
Because he was asleep.
Why? How did he get up?
Just imagine if I had a weapon by my bedside. You've seen me wake up before.
You would kill your family.
I can't do that. Actually, though, I don't think I would spring into action that quickly. Plus, I was saying, like...
Oh, no.
Like, when Janelle hears a noise and wants me to check it out, I'm like, sneaking down the hallway.
You get freaked out in your own house.
I do, like...
All the time.
Did I tell you about the other night? So we were, like, in our room with the doors closed, and we heard, like, footsteps come up to the door.
Ugh.
And then it's quiet. And
like
we hear footsteps walk,
door?
Yeah, to our bedroom door. And then it's quiet, and they walk away. And Janelle's like, ah, go check on him. And I go in. Audrey's fast asleep. Luke's fast asleep.
No.
I'm like, they're both asleep. She's like, stop it. I'm like, I swear, they're both asleep. And I go in and check again. Audrey's asleep. Luke's asleep. But then I, like, go look, and Luke's doing the, like, eyes fluttering a little bit. And I'm like, Luke, are you awake? And he's like, yes, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh my gosh. Just
don't pretend
to be asleep next time. You scared me. But I swear, he was doing such a good job. I'm like, I don't, cause you could, he's like, and it's quiet. And then,
if I heard that and then saw two asleep
then, yes,
children.
Yes, that's exactly, I'm like, they're both asleep. I don't know what happened. Janelle's like, stop it, you're scared. I'm like, I'm telling you, they're asleep. I don't know what to tell you.
Kids are scared. I couldn't deal with that.
Yeah. And then he was just doing, you know, like they're trying to keep their eyes closed and it flutters a bit. I'm like, Luke, are you awake?
Just tell me you're awake so I don't
just be awake because I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Luke, if you're not awake, then there is a ghost in our house.
Yes. Or
a
murderer.
Do you want that?
A ghost.
Do you want
or a murderer?
That? I was awake. Oh.
Those are our choices. Please just be awake right now.
What did he want?
I don't know. A drink or something. This is a few nights ago. Who knows? There's always something.
Gets up
last
and he second guessed himself.
Last night I was up late where I was doing those contracts I was telling you about. And so I was the only one awake in the house, and then I hear, click, and then I hear, and then he goes back. This is like at 2 a.m. he went in to go, he wakes up sometimes and then turns on the Zelda music just to go back to sleep too. So, You sometimes, like, even when we wake in the morning, it's still playing, because they'll just keep getting up and turning it on throughout the night.
I don't know if I could deal with, like, small children creeping around.
Let me tell you, there are some times when they are just creepy. It's just a reality. As cute as they are, that's the thing. The cuter the kid, the creepier they are when they do weird stuff like that. She's like, this is a cute kid who's like...
When Janelle told that dollhouse story... Oh, gosh,
there's something in the dollhouse.
Funny.
And they're standing there, like, pointing at it and staring. You're like... Oh. Just the step like, walking down the hallway.
I don't like
stopping
that.
Stopping at your door. And then walking away again. That's what happened. What if you heard that here?
We've already talked about this. I would...
But you're in your room. What if you hear the steps walk right up to your door and they stop? And your door is closed. What do?
I would piss myself.
What do you do?
I would scream and I would just start yelling. I mean, you saw what I did.
Yeah.
When I, like the, in the KBK.
But you can't leave because you know what's out there. And then like you just hear a little like the door. No, I'm just kind of.
What would you do?
I don't know. Because there's no other exit out of your room.
No.
No other
I would probably locate some weapon.
But then what if you heard
Brendan? So it's a ghost.
Maybe. Could be.
Or it was you.
That's the most likely scenario here. Brendan.
Whatever. That's why I keep the chains on.
But ghosts if somebody no chains.
There's no ghosts.
I know.
If ghosts are real, we're screwed. And also, I feel like I like my idea that if ghosts were real, we would just be stumbling
just
over
be billions of them.
Because they'd literally be everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
funny.
The whole logic of ghosts, like if you're talking about that, I'm like, if they're dead people, then why aren't there just like so? It's only some. Then who decides?
I don't know. Ghost lord.
Like that doesn't make sense. Like who gets to be a ghost? Is it just people that want to and some of them don't?
Yeah, they have unfinished business.
Everybody's got unfinished business.
Nah, I'm ready. I'm good, you know. I got pop lock music ordered.
You gotta, I gotta do something. Like, what's your unfinished
business? My CDs are not alphabetized.
I gotta finish level. I gotta get all the Pokemon and the Pokemon shuffle. At midnight, you see the DS turn on. Like,
Janelle has the Michael W. Smith things that are organized by W instead of S. I must come back and fix it. Stuff like that. Star Wars has not been rewound all the way. That's the things I come back for.
Mine would be like, I really want that brownie.
That's pretty good.
Haunt the Papa John's pizza.
Would you try that $5 pizza place yet?
Nah.
It's pretty good.
You should.
It's pretty good.
What is it called?
It's like Fast Five, I think. I think it's not really that, though.
You keep saying that.
I don't know.
I don't
Furious
think that's
Six.
What it is.
Hateful Eight.
We're still recording the show right now.
We're
talking about
Ridiculous Six right now.
We're talking about pizza.
Pizza.
Ridiculous Six looks so stupid.
It looks ridiculous. It's well-titled.
It looks like... And then after hearing those excerpts from the script because of that lawsuit,
yeah.
I'm like, I wonder if that is still in there.
I don't know.
It just looks... It has some people that I'm sure I'll watch
I'll
it,
watch
but
it.
It looks really stupid.
Hateful Eight looks amazing.
550, is that what it's called?
Oh, the pizza place?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's something. Pizza 5... High Five Pizza.
Where is it at?
It's right by the... I think it's across from Taco Bell.
So by that...
Like, by the...
Road trip place?
Yeah, yeah. It's right by the Mexican restaurant that's by there.
That Mexican restaurant right there is really good.
You eating there?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm thinking of there's another one up the street.
But yeah, it's not... That one is... It's more like a old person Mexican. It's like everything's mild.
So there's one... The one on... The one on the boulevard up more, like up 3rd Street, like off...
Yeah, yeah, it's not that...
That one's really good. No, I've been to every Mexican... I feel like I've been to every Mexican restaurant on the boulevard.
Yeah, that one... That's my, like, lowest, if I had to, like, rank them.
I don't know. I think I'm... Cuca, to me, is very... American.
Yeah, but I really like their taquitos, though, because it's good. It's piled with cheese.
Why don't you just buy a bag of...
I have bags of shredded cheese in my fridge right now.
Then they cook it in an oven, conveyor, or on a grill.
Yes. I don't know.
You're talking about the pizza?
Wait, pizza, the Mexican food, or both?
I think the Mexican food. I think it's talking about Mexican pizza.
Oh, the pizza. I don't know, because you know what in... I just ate it at the house. It's good, though. All right. On that note...
It's 3 o'clock. You got to be up in like 2 hours.
In like 2.5 hours. So, I think we should wrap it up.
No, let's keep going. Let's talk about that pizza.
No. Episode 197.
Naked Knife Man. Don't forget, RadioBrendo.com. BenVNetwork.com, and I think that'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Woohoo!
So for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
Is a part of the BenView Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenViewNetwork.com.
I'm Jordan, and this is Nerd's Eye View. Who do I have with me?
I'm Andrew.
I'm Tom.
And what do we do here, Andrew?
Well, we talk about movies. Every week we always talk about something that's new in theaters, as well as tell you what's going on with the box office top 10 and what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
And then we do a crazy thing called Guess the Ending, which Andrew has a wonderful catchphrase for, but it mainly involves us coming up with crazy stories for all the new movies that are coming out.
So if any of that sounds good to you, find us online, NEVpodcast.com, or on Twitter, at NEVpodcast, or BenViewNetwork.com.
What was I supposed to say? wonderful.
Where are the white women at?
Shut up, Leonard. I'm proud of you.
Shut up, Leonard.
I'm Matt.
I'm Andrew.
And we like Community.
We do.
And if you like Community and you'd like to hear us talk about it every week, you can go to BenviewNetwork.com/ShutUpLeonard.
You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider. Shut up, Leonard.
Pop, pop.